tent with lots to do. Give me the sunshine, give me a do. Give me something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and a cool, refreshing mountain dew. So give me my good friends, give me a do.
Grab some friends and an ice cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew!
Good afternoon. I'm Ryan Baker. We've got day baseball again this afternoon in the Buckeye State. Here in about 5 minutes over at Huntington Park, the Columbus Clippers continuing their series with the Louisville Bats at 12:05. At 1:10 today, the Cleveland Guardians look to complete the four-game sweep of the Detroit Tigers. Joey Cantillo gets the start for the Guards opposite Casey Mize. It is an off day for the Reds. Another elimination game for the Buckeye baseball team at the Big Ten tournament tonight as they face Michigan at 7. Tyler Danberg and Bob Spears have the call at 6:55 over on the Fan 2. Game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals in the NBA this evening as the Cleveland Cavaliers are in New York to take on the Knicks at 8. This one brought to you by BMI Federal Credit Union. They were voted top credit union 8 years in a row by CBUS Top Picks. Visit BMIFCU.org to learn more.
It's time to add some spice to your nooner. Nooner. Funny. This is the place where big-time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus, the number one rated windows and doors in Columbus.
All right, here we go. Rothman and Ice. Grab the baton and go. Anthony Rothman, Matty Ice Hayes, and the Loose Cannon. Boys, how we feeling?
What up, what up? Feeling good. Feeling pretty good. Outside of an odd encounter that I had this morning in the sauna. We've had discussions before about etiquette at the gym and in a locker room. I need your help with this because I'm sitting in the sauna this morning. I'm in there by myself.
TLC, was Larry Brown there? Go ahead, Matty. Sorry.
So I'm in there by myself, and here comes an older gentleman.
Alrighty.
And I see him walking down the hallway, coming into the sauna doors.
Wait, you see this from the sauna?
There's like a door you can see through. You see the hallway and
clear
and
door,
all that stuff.
Or just a window? One of those saunas that's a door with a window.
More of a clear
just
door.
Just a clear door.
More of a clear right. door. So I see him go to the left, which are where all the hangers are. Right, you hang your coat, whatever, and then you come on in the sauna. So he goes.
This is a dry sauna or a
over
wet sauna?
To the rack, right? Mm-hmm. And then he goes out of my vision. I can't see him anymore. But when he comes back and opens the door,
I look over. There's a crank right in my face, Larry Brown.
The man was in nothing but his drawers and just came into the sauna and sat there. And I thought that was out of bounds. Just straight draws. Like, at least give me some shorts or something. We can't be going whitey-tighties in the sauna.
Or the tighty-whitey.
We can't be doing that.
Wait a minute. All right, so the same underwear he was wearing
to work out in,
whatever,
I'm assuming.
He wanted to wear those into the sauna?
Correct.
Why wouldn't he take those off and wrap a towel around himself? Isn't that how most people do it?
I don't know what most people do.
Well, what do
I'm
you
not
do?
In there. I'm in there with just like a shorts and a t-shirt on.
Oh, I thought people would go in there just with a towel wrapped around their waist.
It wouldn't surprise me. But
isn't
it was
that
just,
how it's usually
it
done?
It was just odd to be in the sauna with another grown man, and he was in his whitey tighties.
The whitey tighties. What about?
Am I throwing you off with whitey tighties?
Yeah.
Are you a tighty whitey guy?
Yeah.
Okay, I've been a whitey tighty
guy. You're fine. I was a little thrown off. You analyzed that correctly. Because I was distracted
for
a second.
A couple times I was
like someone trying to phishing me with an email or something. I got distracted. Here's what I know. First of all, I'm kind of questioning even wearing a shirt in there. I don't even understand that. When you go into a sauna, wet or dry, you're going in there with a towel wrapped around your waist and you're sitting down. And you're sweating to the oldies.
So you're just naked in a towel.
No, you're not naked. You have a towel.
Over what? Your underwear?
No, over your naked body.
That's what I'm saying. You're naked in a towel.
Yes, but you're not visually naked. Yes, you are naked. But who goes into a sauna with clothing on?
Your boy does.
Really?
Yeah.
I could make like a cold sauna. Are there, you know, they had, what was that scene in Couples Retreat when they went into like, it was almost like a...
What is it? The cryo?
What is that called? Nah, it wasn't really that, but it was where they're all sitting around and it's like snowing in there. And anyway,
it was just weird. And maybe I'm weird.
What is this guy doing with a shirt and shorts on in a sauna?
Maybe he's telling the same story at lunch today to his employees.
What were you doing?
That I'm telling all of you guys right now. It was awkward. We weren't talking at all. There was nothing.
Well,
that's
it was okay. There was a lot of steam.
It was just weird. I just thought it was a party foul, and I wanted to get your guys' take on it. That's all. But your team draws in the sauna.
No, I'm team no Nothing. Draws. I'm team towel.
Team no draws.
Like, that's what it is.
I feel like that's even less of a barrier.
Okay. Towel, it's aggressive. Towel is pretty aggressive.
I might be just old school. I can't imagine going into a sauna to sweat and having clothes on.
Oh, yeah, we're doubling up.
But you've already destroyed the clothes because you've already worked out in them. So it's like they're going to the laundry anyway.
Your body is trying to, your pores are open. You're trying to sweat out all the toxins and you got a shirt on?
No. No shirt. It would just be shorts. Or in this case, boxers.
Maybe some mesh shorts or something. Something low rise.
I'm willing to accept my weirdness.
Okay.
I'm admitting that. But I just thought that was a hair aggressive.
Maddie,
that's all.
What we've decided.
What gym is this?
This is at my apartment.
Why? Are you looking to attend and make it a. Get on in there.
Come on over.
See what's happening.
Yeah. What should I wear?
Sounds like anything goes. Where is this community sauna? I need to know about this. I got to check it out.
So, AR, you're like, he had too much clothes on.
I think you had too much on, and he probably had, I don't know, he just had the wrong thing on. I just can't imagine going in there.
I think it was the whitey tidies that threw me off. If it was just straight up like just some regular boxers or something, I don't think I would have even really thought anything of it. But when he opened that door and I just see an old man coming through that with just some whitey tidies on.
Groovy don't play like homie, and homie don't play like that.
I got to get up out of here.
Maybe what we need to get you is one of those sauna pods.
Oh,
it's like just a one
like in the backyard.
It's like an individual. You walk in, nobody else can jam in there with you.
I would love that.
All right.
Would love that. I think you're right, though, because a lot of the movies and TV shows that I've watched that have a sauna scene in it, it's nothing but people in towels.
That's right. Men and women, probably.
Oh, a joint sauna.
No, not the. No, I'm saying that men and women are both doing it the same way.
Oh, okay.
They're both going in there with a towel.
You may be onto something, though. Both parties, just everybody come on in.
Everybody.
Nothing but towel.
Come as you are.
The nothing but towel party hosted
come
by Anthony Ross.
Come in a three-piece suit, that's fine. You're kind of ruining my idea that, you know, we were going to enter that two-man doubles luge, and now I'm not sure, you know, what's going to be appropriate. All right.
Okay.
You know, the old double-decker.
Okay, so you... Maybe what I'll do is tomorrow, I'm going to just go straight towel for you, AR.
No.
That's what I'm going to do. See if that's the life that I need to be living.
Don't do it for me. Do it for all the people out there that have ever overdressed in a sauna. Okay. That's interesting.
Just a little odd start to my day. That's all. Just threw me off a little
bit. No talking. That doesn't bother me. You're in there to kind of relax and zone out.
Talking would have made the experience worse, I think. If he tried to strike up a conversation.
A little too intimate?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's...
Would have made it worse.
All right. I'm a little distracted by a lot of stuff there, but I've never, ever been in a sauna where someone has come in their underwear like that.
Yeah.
And nothing else.
Yeah.
Boxers, maybe, because those look different, but I think,
you get to a point where you get to a certain
age.
Maybe
a towel
where you just,
wrapped around your shoulder even.
Something.
A towel over your waist and bottom half, and that's how you go into a sauna.
A lot of skin happening. It was
we want to wipe some sweat off your forehead. Like, you get the one towel wrapped around your neck.
Okay.
And then the one towel around your waist, and you're good to go. That's appropriate sauna wear. And that's what people expect to see. I don't expect to see somebody in clothing or in their underwear.
So you come into the
tidy whiteies.
You would have come into the sauna this morning. You'd be like, "What the heck is going on?"
Yeah, I got
here?
One guy. I got my bearings straight here.
All right.
Oh,
how did it feel? You get it? You all
felt
relaxed?
Great, honestly. It really did.
Loose as cream corn
it
over
did.
There.
It did. Yeah. It was a good experience. I was in there for probably about 10 minutes. I wanted to do 20.
Okay.
Oh. I wanted to do 20. But when he came in there, I was like, I think it's time to go to the crib.
Because
it was a little over the top.
It sounds like this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship. Honestly. This is right out of Casablanca.
I think
that you guys are going to hit it off one day, and you're going to start talking.
I'll go back to
Baltimore. And then you'll be able to eventually be close enough where you'll be able to ask him, hey, you know, I come in here in a shirt and shorts, and you're in your underwear.
Yeah. Why is that?
Yeah. Who's right here? Who's wrong? You guys can work it out together. You, your boy, and Larry Brown.
Oh, my goodness.
And Toby. All you guys can just hang out together. All right.
How's the start to your day, though? Good?
Start to the day. Not too bad. Not too bad.
You still going speakerphone at the gym on the Peloton after some confrontation happened?
I did it the other day because there was a woman on the elliptical who was on her earbuds, AirPods, whatever you want to call them, and she was having an active phone conversation.
Okay.
About three machines over. And I said, if you're going that route, I'm going speakerphone.
That's fair. You were respecting her space. So if the
listening to ESPN or whatever.
So you're saying if the pods were not in,
if the pods are in, I feel like I can do it.
Okay.
Because then they're either listening to music or whatever, and they're probably not hearing what I'm playing.
Fair.
But she was in an active.
So do you not? Do you have a backup pair of headphones that you take with you?
No, I used to take that old that iPod Nano or whatever I had.
Still kicking? You get that thing fired up yet?
No, that's the battery lasts about 8 minutes, so I conserve.
Couple songs.
I charge it, and then I'm like, all right, don't use it too much. Here's our show for you today. Paul Daner Jr. coming on at 12:30. He's the senior writer of The Athletic, and he also hosts the Growler Pod about the Bengals. We'll find out if he agrees with Joe Burrow, his assessment of the roster. We will talk with our friend Jeff Lloyd. We'll do equal opportunity here as we go up to Cleveland at 1:30 for the Orange and Brown Report and find out if Shadur can wrestle this quarterback job back to himself. And then Bruce Feldman, our guy from The Athletic, covers college football amongst the best. We'll see how serious this 24-teamer is. Is this a trial balloon? Are some conferences going to push this through? And when and if it will happen? That'll be at 2:30. When we come back, we'll dive back into Joe Burrow. And I think we did some broad strokes yesterday on his assessment of the roster. But today we go knee deep into his prediction. How real is it? That's next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
We know everything about you. We know you love the Buckeyes. We know you love the Jackets. We know you're wearing a red shirt. I just freaked the hell out of someone. So bad.
Not all
Mountain with lots to do. Give me the sunshine, give me a dew.
Give me something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and a cool, refreshing Mountain Dew. So give me my good friends, give me a dew.
Grab some friends and an ice cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew.
Common Man and Timmy are putting together a hangout at the radio station for a small amount of listeners. Pizza will be involved. Ping pong, too. Lots of inappropriate conversation. And don't forget, pin the tail on Teddy. Tell Man and Timmy why you're the perfect guest by emailing goodcleanboy@gmail.com.
Presented by Billiards Plus and sponsored by Paisano Peppers.
The event takes place Thursday, June 11th, and all email submissions must be in by June 1st. Enter today. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Expect cloudy skies to turn into sunshine throughout the day today, and temperatures will warm into the upper 60s to low 70s. For tonight, partly cloudy overnight with our lows down into the 50s. And for Friday, showers will be likely with even a few thunderstorms possible as we go throughout the day. Otherwise, mostly cloudy and breezy with highs in the low 70s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
If you haven't thought about Buckeye football today, I'm sorry to tell you that you're dead. Our condolences. Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. Their live golf team name is Ice Dogs. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
No, our new fantasy name is the Whitey Tighties.
Talk to him.
That's who we're going to be now.
All right.
The Bengals were 6-11 last year. They lost games, as you may recall, but it's more impactful when I repeat it. So they lost games when they scored 42, 38, 34.
Mm-hmm.
They gave up 492 points for the season. I don't know if that's an, I don't think it would be an NFL record, but it's certainly a team record.
Where did that rank last year?
That's a good question. I don't have that information.
That had to be in the basement of the league or close to
it. How could it not be?
Let me see if I can find this for you. All right. It was, so the only two teams that were worse than the 492 you mentioned were the New York Jets at 503 and the Dallas Cowboys at 511.
Even odder for the Cowboys, right? But the Cowboys did finish below 500. The Jets were, they were stinky.
Yeah, a mess.
And we know what the Bengals are. They're a superpower on offense, and they completely counter their own team with a bad defense. And that's why I said, and I stuck with it, that I would have, I wanted them to pick one or the other. And to me, it was Trey versus T. That was for me. Now, from an age standpoint, maybe it didn't make a whole lot of sense, but I'm like, hey, don't weaken a weakness.
Yeah.
Like, try to get that up a little bit. So when they offset the loss of Trey Hendrickson by acquiring a three-time Pro Bowl defensive tackle, I was like, all right, they're serious. This is big. They just traded the 10th pick. They're in a win-now situation, and they know what Burrow is and what they have, and then they pair him with Jonathan Allen, and I don't know how they can't be better. I don't. I really don't. They signed Boye Mafe on the, you know, I'm telling you, they drafted Cassius Howell at 41. They signed the chief safety, Brian Cook. Like, there is no way they can't be better unless they're not healthy.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going on the hypothetical that this defense is much better. Now, Burrow at the presser yesterday slid something in that, while you wouldn't hold him to it, and every quarterback would probably think this, but maybe they all wouldn't say it. At least not now, in late May. Like, it was just odd the way he kind of, but he's very deadpan in his delivery, and he's ultra confident, and that's what most fans would want their quarterback to say, especially the guy that could back it up if he's healthy. So let's listen to Joe Burrow yesterday, and this is after just the stuff about, I think we're talented.
Talk about the idea of trying to elevate the Bengals onto a bigger platform during the course of your career. Do you think that the Bengals are in a better spot now than they were years ago, and how much more work is there to go in that?
Definitely. I think the number one thing is you have to win. And, you know, we're going to go win a lot of games this year and play great and win a Super Bowl. And, you know, everything that comes with that comes with that.
So we're just going to win the Super Bowl, and then we'll be great, and we'll deal with it. And then our expectations will go way up because we'll win one, and then maybe we'll win another, and maybe we can go back-to-back, and who knows, you know? I mean, I like it down here in Cincinnati, and, you know, I'm a Bengal, I'm an Ohio boy, and, you know, nothing would make me prouder than delivering a Super Bowl to Cincinnati, and we're just going to go out and win it because those things are pretty easy when you're talented. And, you know, we're in a good division, it's competitive, but, you know, who's better than us? Like, what?
It's that easy, huh?
I mean, I can't even believe that that just slipped in. Not we're going to try, or our goal is to contend for a Super Bowl, or I feel like we can. Mm-hmm. We will win it.
I'm not surprised. Honestly, I'm not, because this is who he is. He's a confident guy that's not going to be shy at all to let us know what he thinks about himself and what he thinks about the team. This is the same guy that told all of us a couple of years ago that the Super Bowl window is my entire career. So this is just his mindset. Like, he's not going to shy away from any of this stuff. You and I believe maybe 2-3 years ago sat here and we were surprised that he spoke to the media about, remember when they had to rack up a whole bunch of wins to possibly get into the playoffs, and he was doing the math. like publicly, like, yeah, we can go win seven games in a row, six, whatever it was. And he was saying those things. So this is just who number nine is. He knows how good he is individually. But I also think, because of what you laid out, that he is really charged up about what they can be based off of the players that they brought in and probably what he thinks can happen with some of the year two and year three guys as far as developing and closing the gap on some of these teams. Because I think that's really what's going to raise the floor and lift the ceiling for this team. For sure, the guys that you mentioned, I think Dexter Lawrence will be a dude for them. All the other guys are going to be unknowns until we see them consistently do it. But if we're talking Miles Murphy and Jenkins and Stewart and those guys really turning into ballers, then they're really going to be in the thick of things. Because I look at what Seattle just did with their run. And you look at the core of the players that they had that were high-level players for them this year, and it was the former Buckeye in JSN, Byron Murphy, a former first-round pick last year, Devin Witherspoon, Nick Emenware. Like, all these guys were guys in year two or year three that really had their game together at the right time. And so you pair that with what already is happening in Cincinnati with all the things on offense, then this Cincinnati team, for me, is a legit contender. On paper right now, I can't say that they are. I can't give the Bengals the benefit of the doubt anymore just because we haven't even seen them in the playoffs for three straight years now.
You must believe it. This isn't false bravado. He believes it. And you're right. This is who he is. And it's just odd for a guy to say it because he knows how tough it is. He does. And he's saying it about a team, like you said, that hasn't made the playoffs in 3 years. Like, they got to go out and prove it. Mm-hmm. Do they have the roster to do it? Yeah. For him to say we're going to go win the Super Bowl, I guess that's what everybody's goal should be. But it sounded more of a guarantee and not a goal. And the fact that he even acknowledged that he's 47 touchdown passes away from the club record and a career. By the way, it's Dalton, not Ken Anderson, which was my guess yesterday. And he's just like, that's doable. Now, that's an individual record. Most quarterbacks don't go there. Most quarterbacks would say, most important thing to me is to deliver a championship to this city. If records come along with it, great. But he's like, no, that's doable. I want my first MVP. Like, he's that guy. And I guess I'd rather have a guy like that than not. But it was just interesting the way he slipped it in yesterday.
Is this, does this qualify as arrogance for you?
Yeah.
This does?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's arrogance,
when you were
is it arrogant when you can back it up? He hasn't been healthy enough. I just think his mind, it's interesting. He has the mind of a championship guy. He's played in the biggest game in the world. He's won it all on the college level. He's won the most highest, you know, prestigious award in college football. And he gets to a Super Bowl. And he's maybe 1 second away from delivering that. So he's been as close as you can get to it, and maybe he knows that I'd rather lean that way and be ultra confident than be a guy that's kind of holding back. And that I'm glad he's true to himself, but it's harder than he's saying.
100%.
It's too much of an off the cuff.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm surprised about. So that's where it goes to arrogance. Now, if you can back it up, you back it up. He knows. He absolutely knows it's not as easy as he just made it sound.
And I think what maybe part of it too is setting a tone as a leader too, right now on the football calendar. Hey, we're at OTAs, right? We got a long way to go, to your point, before we even get to the regular season. But me as the leader of this team, I'm letting all you guys know, as my teammates, I believe in you and I believe in this specific core that we can win the Super Bowl this year. And I think if you're one of his teammates and you hear him publicly say that, that can, I think, work well in a locker room when it comes to confidence from number nine that everybody feels that.
Bills, Ravens, Chiefs, Chargers, Houston,
Patriots,
New England.
Here now. Yes.
Like, he really made that sound like it's ours to lose and you are all playing to take it from us. Uh-huh. And it should be the opposite.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting stuff, but I appreciate it, man. I appreciate that he's not shy at all. I want you folks to listen closely if you are in the headspace right now of wanting to find a new vehicle, because I want to direct you to the McDaniel GM Superstore in Marion, where they have over 200 new vehicles on their website right now. I got my new car from the McDaniel GM Superstore up in Marion, and it was just a great experience. The team up there is awesome. They're really down to earth. They're great at their job, and they'll get you headed in the right direction and leaving out of there with a new whip that you're going to like. They got a 26 Silverado 1500. Save up to $14,000 off MSRP or lease for as low as $364 a month. Terms and restrictions apply. It's not a long drive up there in Marion. Trust me, it's well worth it. You're going to love your car buying experience with the McDaniel GM Superstore in Marion. Chevrolet, together, let's drive.
We come back in 2 minutes with Paul Daner Jr., the Growler Pod host from The Athletic. And we'll ask him, are the Bengals truly the most talented? We'll ask him next. Roth.
Citrus. Give me a mountain with lots to do. Give me the sunshine. Give me a dew. Give me something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and a cool, refreshing Mountain Dew. So give me my good friends, give me a dew.
Grab some friends and an ice-cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew.
Live better.
Rossman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Always as tender as a well-done steak. This is Rothman and Ice.
They got to be better, right? They got to be better. Senior writer in the Growler podcast, host covering the Bengals for The Athletic, our friend Paul Daner Jr. Welcome back, my man. How you been? Uh-oh. There we go. PDJ in the house.
How are you doing?
Good, man.
What's
Sorry about on? That. All good. All right. Very interesting press conference with Joe Burrow, but I do want to start with more of a general question. Do you agree? Is this the most talented roster he's had?
If not, it's neck and neck. I mean, I would argue their 2022 team, the year after the Super Bowl, might be the best Bengals team there's ever been, and I would even throw their Super Bowl teams into it. That team won 10 games in a row before losing the championship game to Patrick Mahomes at Kansas City, and were really good and well-rounded. That defense was a top 10 group with a lot of stars, and used to have Joe and Jamar. But it's close because I think Joe's a better quarterback. He is definitely a better receiver than he was at that point. I think this defense has the potential. I mean, it's all under the guise of that, right? Like, if all of these defensive pieces, if this defensive line comes together with all the pieces that they've thrown in there, it has a chance to be really good. And if that's the case, and you have an offense with 11 starters coming back, including the just extreme weaponry they have in the passing game, yeah, I mean, it feels like it's probably a fun debate to have, but the bottom line is this. They have a team that has every ability to go win a championship, and if you can say that on May 21st, you have done something right.
You know, Paul, you were talking about Joe and how you've seen him get better, and right now he's a better quarterback than where he was a few years ago. And so covering him day in and day out for all of these games, what has jumped out to you about his game that led you to say that now that you just see? You watch Joe Burrow now, and it's different than what we saw in 2021 and all of those things. What's really jumped out to you with this game?
Well, he's evolved it. And, you know, early in his career, you know, he would drop back and it would be throwing go balls to Jamar and T and just giving them a shot to go play. And then the game changed and everybody was playing these two high shells and everything constantly against them to never playing man. And so he just developed this insane, efficient check down and underneath game that was just picking people apart. And then in 2024, you see him become much more of this playmaker, and he was making, you know, all these off script plays. He has all of those tools and avenues in his bag because over different years and portions of his career, he's been asked to and evolved in a way to use all of those. And now He's a guy that can go to wherever he needs to go win a game, and has done that for long periods of time over the course of his career, and can move the direction of this team's offense in whatever direction it needs to go, depending on their personnel. And so when you have that at your disposal, you're just more well-rounded. He can do all of those things at elite levels, or has at least. And so the ability to just be so diverse and understand exactly what everybody's trying to do to you, and having the tools to go pick those teams apart, yeah, it makes him a much harder quarterback for any defense to deal with.
Paul, are they listening to him, or do they just know what they have in him and they've leaned into this investment?
You know, since Joe has gotten here and emerged, they have been very cognizant of wanting him to feel like he is a big part of the process, and he is. That's not lip service. I mean, they go to him with the moves they want to make. They ask him to help when they're trying to recruit or get guys. That's been the case over the years and still is. He's a part of the decision-making process. And sometimes publicly he has sort of aired his frustrations during some of these losing seasons. And so I think there's always a pressure with Joe that whether he's saying it or not, like, he's just so competitive. He so clearly wants to win. He's going to be frustrated like any elite competitor would be when you're not. They feel that pressure to go out there and build around him. And sometimes he doesn't have to say it. And sometimes he's going to be louder about saying some things if he feels like it's a decision that they're in between. And I think that was largely the case in the offseason of T and Jamar's extensions, where that was where this became most prevalent and most public. And he's involved in all of that stuff. They care about his opinion. They care about doing right by him. But they're all inevitably trying to do the same thing, and that's trying to build a team. I do think he has pushed them, though, certainly in the direction to do certain things that maybe they wouldn't have over the last couple of years.
What did you think of his slipping in that Super Bowl prediction?
It was very under the radar. It was a question about international games, and in the middle of it, he just throws a Super Bowl prediction in there for us. You almost missed it. It was more, it was sort of the next level along the lines of what he's saying, and what he's suggesting and saying is this is the most talented roster he's ever had, and how you can take all your criticisms of the front office and leave those behind because they went out there and aggressively got it done. I think everything he was saying during that press conference suggested what he slipped into that, which was that's what the expectations are right now, and there's no reason they shouldn't be. This is a team whose biggest names right now have gone to and won the Super, gone to the Super Bowl. And, you know, they've been right there in the presses. They've won AFC championships. There's a reason that they should believe that they can do that when you consider the possibilities of getting the defense right and having a really good pass rush and defensive line. It just, that idea of having that type of a dominant upfront group can change everything and put them in that spot. They should feel that way right now, and certainly a guy like Burrow, who's never been afraid to air his confidence, he's not going to hold that back.
Locking in on the defensive line a little bit more, Paul, I want to ask you this. You got Shamar Stewart, former first-round pick, Miles Murphy, former first-round pick as well. They bring in Boye Mafe, hand him a new contract. And so Murphy and Stewart are just so fascinating to me right now because that's obviously high-end draft capital that they used on both players. And so when you look at the defensive line, let's say they had to go out and play a game this Sunday. Paul, opposite Boye Mafe, who do you believe would be the starting edge?
Well, I mean, the question would be who takes the most snaps. It would definitely, Murphy is miles ahead of Shamar. No pun intended. I mean, Shamar is still very much a project. Miles had a breakout the second half of last year. I mean, he was a real force. When you look down the stretch of last season and really did a great job in pure pass rush downs. His rates were as good as almost anybody. And so they really believe that they can build around Miles, and he's a huge part of what they're doing. So he's the most promised. Shamar is the more of the wild card. Like, they love his versatility. I think they feel like they can be more multiple this year in terms of morphing very easily from a 4-3 to a 3-4 because Mafe and second-round pick Cassius Howe are more of the smaller outside edges that they can utilize those guys coming from the outside. And obviously what Dexter can do in the middle of just playing that straight up over the center position in the middle of a 3-4, you could morph in and out. So I think Shamar can do that. He could play any of those spots because of his just freakish athleticism, but he's just so raw, and how much of it will he pick up? It's going to be one of those things as the season goes along. I think he's one of those X factors that can take this defensive line from good to great if he develops this year. If he doesn't, then, you know, he's just kind of going to play a backup role.
Paul Danner Jr. with us, covering the Bengals, senior writer for The Athletic and host of the Growler Pod. All right, last one for you, man, before we let you loose. Did they screw up by not addressing linebacker?
Maybe, but, you know, so I'm glad you mentioned this. It gives me a chance to promote a future story that I haven't written yet. but I've been doing a lot of research on this and just kind of looking at the linebacker position as a whole. If you look, this was a very clear decision to go from, okay, you want to invest and spend money in a linebacker, or is the better investment, if you have guys there, to put your resources all into the guys in front of them and Brian Cook behind them as well, making their life easier rather than trying to go overpay necessarily for a linebacker. Now, they probably could have tried to do both, but that's not the point. If you look at Seattle, if you look at Houston, if you look at, to a lesser extent, Philly, the Rams last year, all these teams that really built up these dominant fronts, look who their starting linebackers were going into the seasons. Seasons that they won Super Bowl, seasons they had some of the best defenses in football. They're guys who were journeymen, undrafted free agents, young players who hadn't necessarily even been great before that you hadn't heard of. Guys like Drake Landman and, like, you know, Omar Spates, like all these, they're names that you wouldn't know any more than anybody else that didn't have some pedigree. And so, but they played really well because the lines in front of them just wrecked shop. Yeah. And I think that's kind of where they're at with it. They have two rookies that did not play well at linebacker, but they played over 700 snaps. They had over 100 tackles. They got better as the year went along, and they did that with being completely set up to fail. They had no veterans around them. They had no help. They had no defensive line in front of them. They had safeties that missed tackles behind them. They fixed all the things around them, and they come into this year now with a better understanding of how to play the position in the NFL, and they feel like that will be a lot better for Demetrius Knight and Barrett Carter. We shall see.
I look forward to the story, my man. Thanks for jumping on.
No problem. We'll talk to y'all later.
You got it. Paul Danner Jr. from The Athletic on the Brian Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We come back, and yes, a former national championship winning head coach is coming back. Details next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
We have so many local shows, I can't fit them in a 10-second promo. So let's just say we're live and local all damn day. The Fan. All the folks at...
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
The Fan is headed to the Memorial. Are you ready for 30 hours of live coverage? Oh, it's true, baby.
Sponsored by the Waterworks and Header Plumbing, Drain, Heating, and Cooling.
Thewaterworks.com.
The best Memorial coverage. The Fan.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
You're listening to... Roastman and the Icebreaker, right here on 97.1, the Fanification.
And we don't get fooled again. That's the team right there, the Roastman and the Icebreaker.
We don't get fooled again.
Now that's the team. All right, this is a weird story. I mean, most people that get paid off, they kind of just fade off. And it's so weird to go back to a school. So LSU announced last night that Ed Orgeron, do we have any clips from Fast Eddie around? Anything from Waterboy or the Cajun Man or whatever? Like,
go Tigers.
That's pretty close. So he won the title in 19 with Joey B, who we just talked a lot about. And now he's coming.
Take your hands and put it down your pants, son. Squeeze them damn things. Make sure you got two.
Is that Ed Orgeron or Ian Fitzsimmons doing Ed Orgeron? I'm not sure.
TLC, do you know what that is? That like a pregame speech? Is that what that's from? You remember? Or do you?
That was Coach O on Bustin' with the Boys telling the story of how he had a good relationship with Joe Burrow's brother.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. And Joe Burrow's brother was like, Coach, I want him to go to LSU, but, you know, it's his decision. And Coach O is telling him, hey, man, you go in that room and you tell your brother that he's coming to LSU.
Take your hands and put it down your pants, son. Squeeze them damn things. Make sure you got two.
Do you remember when they bought him out and it was like $17 million, I think?
Yeah.
Man, and he's like, we're going to give you that. And he's like, what time do you want me to leave?
Which door do you want me to walk out
of? That's right. What time do you want me out of here? There's a box to put your crap in.
You know, AR, I've always said for years, that has to be one of the best things in sports. In the world, actually.
It's never great to be fired.
But
it's quite a nice parachute.
Correct. Yeah. And that's why if you're Coach O, like, that's the mindset. Like, okay, like, hey, I want a natty here. There was no doubt some dicey stuff going on, which led to the firing. Like, outside of the lack of wins and all of that stuff, there was, you know, Title IX stuff that popped up and off the field stuff that popped up that was his own doing, right, with altercations and stuff that was going on. Coach O was, he was outside, as the kids say. Coach O was outside, but here he is now, back in the mix, and I could understand why Lane Kiffin would want to make this move. We talk now in the world of NIL when traditional recruiting, is that even a thing anymore with how much money's being thrown around? I do think, though, that having a guy like Coach O around can help some of that. I think he can. He's got a little bit of that mascot-ish vibe to me going on. There's always a high level of energy, and I'm sure if you had a conversation with the guy, he probably went over a lot of people with just his how he goes about things. He's an interesting guy. And so I understand this move for Lane Kiffin. I do. It's a guy that knows what it takes to win at the highest level there. But also, I think there's a lot of people that really love Ed Orgeron, especially down there in Baton Rouge.
He's old school. Good and bad. And ugly. There was a lot there. A lot of allegations.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of denials.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of lawsuits and lawsuit dismissals. And then the firing came, and then the buyout, and now he's back. And so they announced last night that, and he's been out of football since 2021. And we all know about the undefeated team, and the fact it was Burrow, Justin Jefferson, and Ja'Marr Chase.
Who else was on the CES, I believe?
Crazy.
I think Randy Moss's son was the tight end. I think who got drafted by the Bengals.
You got baseball in the brain, son.
What did I say?
CES?
Yeah.
Christian Encarnacion Strand is back there toting the rock.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Yeah.
The running back for LSU.
Actually,
yes.
Maddie, you got that wrong. You were the one that drafted him in fantasy.
I did. And I'll never forget this. I believe
the fact that I remember that is amazing.
I want to say that first game.
He was great.
I want to say they played Houston.
It was the pick of the year.
Now we got to go back and figure out, because that the line that he put together, so that would be the 2020 season, the 2019 season. So 2020 season, right? That he would have been
probably
in the NFL?
Yeah. So do you have that game, Eric? Because I just want to go back and see what the line was that day.
His box score was?
I remember
was?
I was riding high after that game.
I think
game.
He and scored that, multiple touchdowns. I don't know if his box score was great.
Oh, is this the first game of his career?
Maybe
so
I'm wrong.
Line
maybe he was over 100.
25 for a buck, 38 and one.
Oh, he only had one. Okay. I remember when that happened, and I looked at you and said, pick of the year.
Man.
And then what happened?
And then he only went over 100. Actually, he only went over 70 yards two more times the rest of the year.
Mm. Yeah. Humbled me.
Not many guys in football history have gone over 100 in their first game. I don't believe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are several famous names that have, but not that many.
He only finished the year, CEH did, with four touchdowns.
It's weird.
He only played in 13.
Speaking of buyouts,
yeah,
it was what I thought about, like, when Jason Kidd just got fired. They're paying, the contract has $40 million on it.
Mm-hmm.
40!
And then the other part, too, is we live in this world now to where a guy like Jason Kidd's probably going to have a couple of TV networks calling him. Yeah. Hey, you want to do a little TV?
Maybe, and I don't think that offsets.
Oh, no. That's just, we're not doubling with another team. We're double dipping. NBC, ESPN, whoever it may be. They got another $1 million laying around to throw my way. I'll take that,
and these
too.
These teams don't get any massive criticism for it, these buyouts.
You know why? Because I think it shows an effort to your fan base that this isn't good enough. Yeah. We're trying to be better. And I think that can warm over some people. So make some people feel good about that. It's like when your team goes out and spends a whole bunch of money in free agency. Like, hey, they're showing effort. And I think that's what can make you feel better about the situation outside of, obviously, it's somebody getting fired because they weren't having success. But do you agree with that?
I do agree with that. I think it's a good point. I think in college, I don't like it. In college, they go to the donors and they empower them. Okay, you're going to be a part of this decision. Can you help us buy this coach out? What do you think if we hire this guy? Because all they want is their money. Yeah. So they're just buttering them up. In the NFL, the owners are just like, okay, we'll eat this. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll eat fines, we'll eat buyouts.
Yeah.
And they're not going to their fans. Now, do sometimes ticket prices go up? Absolutely. And that's where some of the criticism I would have, you know, where because everyone's going to pay for it. It's like these sports teams are like shoplifting. And like, you're going to pay for this somewhere. Either our gear's going up, or our food's going up, or our parking's going up. You're going to pay for it. You just won't pay the big chunk, but we'll nickel and dime you.
It's just, I mean, even...
You made the mistake. Lie in that bed.
A lot of these programs have shown us that they're just not going to keep spending, though. Like, they're just going to continue to spend. Like, look at what LSU's been doing. You go from Coach O to Brian Kelly to now Lane Kiffin. All of those guys, really, really expensive. So I think at premier programs like this, they're always going to put their best foot forward, both financially and what they try to do on the field.
All right, we'll carry this over to the top because beyond the obvious connection, he's got deep ties to this guy. We'll mention that. And the clock is ticking for these quarterbacks, all after a sports update. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
There's nothing Bo Bishop can't do well except find competent co-hosts. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan.
Mountain with lots to do. Give me the sunshine, give me a dew. Give me something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and a cool, refreshing Mountain Dew. So give me my good friends, give me a dew.
Grab some friends and an ice cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew.
Job today.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon. I'm Ryan Baker. Going on right now over at Huntington Park, the Columbus Clippers continuing their series with the Louisville Bats. They're in the bottom of the fourth inning, and Khalil Watson's solo home run just tied the game at one. In about 10 minutes up in Detroit, the Cleveland Guardians looking for their sixth straight win and to complete the sweep against the Tigers. Joey Cantillo versus Casey Mize, the pitching matchup. Out in Omaha, another elimination game for the Buckeye baseball team tonight. They take on Michigan at 7. You can hear it live over on the Fan 2 beginning at 6:55 with Tyler Danberg and Bob Spears. Game 2 of the NBA's Eastern Conference Finals tonight in New York as the Cleveland Cavaliers face the Knicks at 8. New York won Game 1 in a historic comeback fashion. Also at 8, Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals in the Stanley Cup playoffs down in Carolina as the Hurricanes host the Montreal Canadiens. Breaking sports news on the Fan, Ohio Sports. Sports destination.
Dog friendly. And if you ain't down with that,
we got 2 words for you.
This is Rothman and Ice.
Second hour of the program. Glad you're along. Jeff Lloyd talks Brownies with us at 1:30 from the Orange and Brown Report. Wanted to get back into a little bit of the Ed Orgeron thing, going back to LSU to be with Kiffin. Kiffin's Ole Miss exit was a mess. He left a team just before the playoff. That doesn't happen very often. I know with the calendar, everything's screwed up, and you got to go if you got to go. But and you know, then he wanted to coach it, and then he was all like weird, and yeah. I don't know what he felt like that maybe he should have been able to. And then he was trying to peddle us the lies that the players wanted me to be there,
and some of the guys on his staff stuck around and still coached that team. It was really impressive how Ole Miss and Chambliss and all those guys were able to rally and bounce back from that, right? Because that could have demoralized some players in locker rooms when that guy leaves, because it does seem like a lot of players really like playing for Lane Kiffin. And so that Pete Golding stepping in that situation and stepping up and having that team lock in the way that they did, I was impressed by that, AR. But yeah, it was wild, and that's why we've been talking so much, and there is so much talk about the college football calendar and how it's just so wacky right now, to where you can have that situation happen towards the end of the year. You can have what happened with Ohio State with Hartline and all that. And even outside of the coaching staff stuff, it's the portal situation too, where guys can leave before the play. Like, it's just, they got to find a way, I think, AR, to make that cleaner, because right now it's just a little murky.
Is that the most, where would that be as far as anticipated games this year for you?
What's that? Which one?
Ole Miss hosting LSU. It's got to be top five. In hype, anticipation, the fact
no
that Kiffin and Ole Miss and what he has said recently.
Yes.
I'm looking at the schedule right now, and I'm thinking that to me.
Just off the top of my head, question.
First of all, the rivalry itself is rejuvenated between Ole Miss and LSU, just because of that.
Yeah.
So they're meeting on September 19th.
Must-see TV.
Has to be.
Game day will be
night
there.
Night game.
Big noon kickoff, I'm assuming. Well, like, everybody that is anybody is going to want to be there.
Want to
see. And then we're all going to want to watch the game. And it's what's going to be great, too, is you have a guy in Lane Kiffin that's not going to run from any of that stuff. If anything, he's going to lean into the dramatics. He's going to lean in to any of that stuff that's going to pop up his way. Like, Lane Kiffin, he's not shy. We know that at this point in his career. So everything leading up to that game is going to be amazing. The press conferences, the players, what they're saying, especially the players that are back at LSU or back at Ole Miss that didn't go over to LSU.
Ed Orgeron reminds me in a smaller level of when Ditka was at his height with the Bears.
Mm-hmm. I could see that.
And that everything became about him. Now, Ditka was a former Bear great, so it was a little different. He wasn't just some coach that came in and became a legend. He was a legendary tight end for them, and so there was a lot of a history. But for young people, they wouldn't have known that anyway. But the rise and fall of Orgeron reminds me of the rise and fall a little bit of Ditka. In that you get a guy who gets to the top of his profession.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm talking about the peak. Ditka was as big in Chicago as Walter Payton. Like, he was that big. And the popularity of these two guys, and then you add this just this entitlement I felt, and I think that's what happened. I think the world's kind of collided, and I think that Orgeron has probably been away long enough to kind of learn from that. Now, he's at a much lesser level. He's not the head coach of the team. Yeah. And so I don't expect some kind of repeat. And you're right. They will kind of put him out there as kind of a little bit of a human mascot
100%.
In recruiting. And he's a born on the bayou guy.
Yeah.
So
get him out there on the recruiting trail. Guys come in for official visits. You have him
blow
rolling
up a
around.
Couple, you know, let him dance on a ball or something.
Whatever. He's probably into all of that stuff. But I see the vision for what Lane Kiffin wants to do when it comes to this role for Coach O. But you brought up something that I think is interesting. In the faces of programs, either at the college level or the NFL level, I think the college level lends itself more towards that than the NFL does. Like, when you think about a lot of the faces of NFL teams, mm-hmm. there aren't a lot of teams that I could think of that I would think of the coach first. For college football, I think that's a little different. Like when I think about those brands.
Well, the guys used to stick around longer, so it helped them. The Paternos, the Bowdens, the Urban Myers, the Nick Saban.
100%.
Like they were here forever.
Even now, yeah. Like when you throw out, I don't know, LSU or you throw out Ohio State or some of these, like what do you think of first? Yeah. And I think college is more for me the head coaches than in the NFL.
Well, the pros we went through that argument with Belichick and Brady. Yeah. It was such a stupid argument. Like he's a great legendary coach. One guy may be the best to ever play the position. Mm-hmm. And people were debating whether it was Brady or Belichick.
It was always Tom for me.
You could bring in an above average head coach and win some Super Bowls with him, yeah. I would think. And I'm not trying to crush Belichick, but the fact that people were debating whether it was the coach or the player at that point.
That's why I was in the camp, too, of when the Browns had their playoff game against TLC Steelers during the pandemic and Stefanski wasn't there. I was like, as long as Baker is there and that crew, like I'd much rather have the head coach there. But if the starting quarterback is there with the weapons that he's usually used to working with, then I'm in on that. So I agree with you, AR, that it was always Brady for me over Belichick. And then time kind of showed itself and proved to all of us that that was the case because Bill had an opportunity to showcase that, hey, you know, it was me too. You know what I'm saying? Like I did some things as well as a head coach, and that didn't work out well on the offensive side of things. Post Tom Brady, Tom goes to Tampa and racks up another Super Bowl.
Things happen. You get famous, and you have power, and you have money, and you have fame, and then it can affect your personal life. And look what happened to Orgeron. Like you think about the championship and that perfect storm of that, and then it's everything becomes secondary. Right? Your fame. Now, I'm not trying to accuse the guy of anything because I wasn't there. But you saw his personal life start to unravel. For sure. His divorce and whatever. Mm-hmm. And now it kind of comes full circle back to LSU. But when you're the most powerful and the most wealthy, and he was single again. Like, it's...
Well, Sandy, he was outside. Yeah. He was outside.
Yeah.
Doing his thing.
So... I don't really know. Listen, he's probably enjoying his life and he should, but he became kind of his own worst enemy and it led to a lot of stuff.
The official title over at LSU right now is, well, this is coming from, this is the press release from LSU. Ed Orgeron is returning to LSU and will serve as the special assistant to recruiting and defense. So that's the title. So a little bit of the, hey, I can help you out here. I'll also help you out here and grind in the tape, too. Ohio State's brought in some analysts. We see this all the time now. But based off of everything that I've seen, he can go out and recruit, AR. So that's, I think, a nice little weapon to have. Because he knows that area well, right? Like all the coaches down there. You got Lane Kiffin coming in. I'm sure he knows some of them. But down there in prime recruiting territory, I'm sure Coach O has some really good relationships with a lot of those people down there.
Yeah. This is what happens in coaching. You know, he wants to be a part of it, wants to be around it.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to. He's got plenty of money, but he wants to be a part of the game, and he wants to feel that again. And now coaches are leaving. Even coordinators are leaving. We see this a lot. It used to be that I would only leave if I was going to become a head coach or if my head coach got fired.
Yeah.
And now guys are actually getting opportunities to go places. I mean, remember when he won a national title at LSU, he had to replace Joe Brady and Dave Aranda, and he was now.
What happens when you win, right?
And like, now all of a sudden, you're calling, I don't know, Pete Carroll for advice. You're calling Bo Pelini or whoever you're calling and trying to find a way to re-up what you've delivered. Expectations go up when you win.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's back. At a lesser level, it probably fits him more, and he's got his hand in the game without a ton of heavy lifting.
Sometimes that's the best place to be, especially in an area and in a realm of the country where you know you're loved. Like anywhere he goes down there, I'm sure it is just waves of love that come his way because of what he was a part of, and it wasn't just because there's levels to teams that have won championships. That 2019 LSU team is they're in the, I think, upper echelon of teams that won Natty just because of the star power that was attached to it, but how great they were, too. It was one of the best offenses I think college football's ever seen. And so to have that, your coach, you're right where you want to be again.
Maddie, he took LSU that was struggling and took it to the top.
Mm-hmm.
And then he drove it off a cliff. And that's sometimes what happens. And remember the Les Miles era, how weird that was down there? And the offense was so outdated. And he got players, and he got Joey B out of the Buckeye land. And we remember when we thought Joey B was going to go to Nebraska?
Yeah.
And he found Brady out of nowhere with the Saints, and he got a national title. And now he's back at the school that bought him out. You can't make it up.
You know who else is back too, real quick? Yeah. Will Wade's back at LSU as well.
There you go.
So they're just bringing back everybody.
All right, we come back with Todd Monken. Not in person, but he's ready to unleash an offense. That's next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
If you miss a live show, you can catch the podcast. If you miss the podcast, our hosts have volunteered to have dinner with you.
Ma, the meatloaf!
The Fan.
Listen, at some point...
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
It's a...
Common Man and Timmy are inviting select jabronis to the station for pizza. Hey, that could be you. Email goodcleanboy at gmail.com and tell us why you should be chosen.
Presented by Billiards Plus and sponsored by the Ohio Poultry Association.
The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Expect cloudy skies to turn into sunshine throughout the day today. Temperatures will warm into the upper 60s to low 70s. For tonight, partly cloudy overnight with our lows down into the 50s. And for Friday, showers will be likely with even a few thunderstorms possible as we go throughout the day. Otherwise, mostly cloudy and breezy with highs in the low 70s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
1, 2, 3. Here in The Fan, it's always football o'clock. Proud to be your home of the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. The Fan. Hitting a hole in one into your ear hole. Ew. This is Rothman and Ice.
All right, quiz time. Deshaun Watson has made how many starts over four seasons? Maybe you already know this.
Nine?
I got to go more than nine, but it ain't that much more.
Maybe I should rephrase. Rephrase the question.
Nope. No.
How many?
Ten.
How many were good?
Oh,
no. I'm kidding.
Final answer: 10.
All right, so you're going to try to price.
We might have to eliminate
item up for bids, kind of thing.
We might have to eliminate Price is Right rules for.
Do you guys feel weird about? You know how much I love Price is Right, but you also know how much
you hate it.
That I hate it. It really was my favorite and probably all time my favorite game show. I think there's probably others. Deal or No Deal certainly has its place in the rankings. But
it's an easy watch.
The Price is Right was great because I told you guys when we go on vacation, when we visit family.
What was that?
And my dad, family. My dad and my brother and I would go and we'd, you know, stay in a hotel.
I'm here with my family.
We'd stay in a hotel.
It's ridiculous.
And... like when we were younger,
this is ridiculous.
We'd stay at our cousin's house, but then we kind of outgrew it, and my dad and his brother would always fight, and so we'd be like, all right, let's go.
You know what? You're spoiled.
So who is that?
That's Brian.
That's
Brian Kelly.
Can't pick out the. I thought maybe it was Brad Friedel. So we go and we stay at a hotel, and we were sleepers, man. My dad wouldn't wake up early. Mm-hmm. Our first meal was always like brunch. It was never breakfast. We'd always be eating at like noon, meal a day.
I love it.
Because we'd be just exhausted. We'd play tennis for 8 hours or whatever and then eat a late dinner and go to a movie and come back. And we'd sleep till 10:30, 11 o'clock. And he'd wake us up and just throw the shades open. My brother, come on, and turn on the TV. And it was always The Price is Right.
Yeah.
And years later, I learned that he didn't really care about the games. He probably was just enjoying the models. And so
is that why you like Deal or No Deal?
Probably so. And so, well, with, yes, but with the Price is Right, they're always the three same models forever. And so we're watching this show, and I always liked it. And then later on, I always got upset about when you did the item up for bids, and somebody depends on what order you're in, and somebody would always bet a dollar over. Somebody would be like, really? You got to do that to that person? Because like, then you got to hit it right on the number.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've always hated the fact that it should always be closest in the showcase showdown. Like, if I'm closer, I should win. It doesn't matter whether I go over. So if I go over by a dollar, I lose. And if you're under by 10 grand, you win. It's just, it's awful. And I don't even know where I'm going with this point, but that was...
The point is, Maddie needs to stop just snap answering and giving me the second option every time.
Yeah. So that's what happened.
Final answer.
So the final answer is, so TLC wins.
Yeah.
19 starts.
That was 10 shots.
Over four seasons.
I probably would have come up with, well, I don't know what I would have come up with if you didn't give me anything, but if I were not just trying to be an a-hole and one-up you, I would have, once you said nine, that would have drawn me, wow, this is even lower than I thought, but I still would have gone somewhere in the teens.
So that trade, which is still out there, is one of the worst any team has ever made, and he's under contract for this season. And we're already having conversations about, what if he's great again? Are they going to re-sign him? And I've been one of those people that I'm like, I understand what Todd Monken wants to do. I got a quarterback battle. I don't know if I have a great one in Shador. I've got a guy on the roster who I've seen play really great before. Forgetting about how much we're paying him. Like, I got to open up the competition, and it makes sense. And so here we are again. And I'm like, okay, this could either stunt the growth of Shador or put you in a weird spot with Watson, in that if he doesn't take you to the playoffs, but he plays well, are you going to re-up with him? And then they had Shador on the bench for another year. So I think it's a little counterproductive, but I understand what they want. It's very similar to the Steelers. We want to win football games the most we can. Mm-hmm. And if there's a guy out there that can help us do that, he's going to be playing.
The only difference to me between the two is that with Deshaun, there's some runway to be had after this year. There's not a ton. With Rodgers, he just told us, this is the last hole for me. I'm on T-Box 18 right here, right now. And so they're in the process of doing OTAs. And I got to be honest, I've seen a couple of the videos going around online of Deshaun throwing some dimes. And I'm like, what's going on here? Is he back? Because he dropped a dime to Denzel Boston in the end zone. That was a touchdown. And then he dropped a dime to KC Concepcion, which he dropped. And that's not what you want to see as a Browns fan, because that's what we were talking about coming out of round one, was KC Concepcion. One of his problems was all the drops that he had. But to my amateur eye, just watching on Twitter, he's looking pretty darn good right now. Does not mean a whole bunch of anything as far as the actual game stuff goes. But he does look the part. Have you seen those videos going around? Mm-hmm. Throws look really good. I mean, this isn't just, hey, nobody's around in coverage. Like, Deshaun was dotting some things up. But that is 7-on-7 football. That is not 11-on-11 with pads and all that, I understand. But that, I think, are the things that are going to bring Todd Monken around to, if he isn't already, that's my guy with the skill set and the experience that he already has.
Yep. And he's starting to think about installing an offense and who I can have that's going to be able to do what I need him to be able to do. Mm-hmm. So let's hear from Monken on this quarterback competition and exactly where things stand.
Well, he's been great. I mean, I think everybody would say it. I'm all for a clean slate. You know, I want the best for every player that we have, every coach. I want the best for, you know, anybody in this world to have a great life. I think it's really cool that he still has an opportunity with a change, right, to showcase his ability, see where he's at. I'm all for it.
I'm not going to argue with him, because this isn't an organizational decision. He's making a decision that's best for his football team. So will it be a good problem for them to have if Deshaun is so good that they have to sit in a room and think about paying him millions more? I guess.
Yeah.
I find that a very tough one if I'm Jimmy Haslam. But if there's a future and I'm going to be opening up a new stadium not too far down the road, and this guy still has a future if he can stay healthy, I'm not leaning into this being having a great ending for him. Like, I don't see it in Cleveland. I don't know. I just don't. I see him being maybe the best they have. But I don't know if it's one where, okay, we've refound our quarterback.
As we sit here today on May 21st, I still think that we're going to see both guys start a decent amount of games this year. Because to your point, what has Deshaun shown us, even when he was healthy, to make us believe that he is going to be a serviceable quarterback week in and week out? And that's before the guy's coming off a torn Achilles twice over on the same leg.
And their offensive line is
a question.
They're rebuilding it, but they've replaced everyone.
They made an effort, a strong effort this year during the offseason, whether it was the vets or what they did in the draft, to address that offensive line, which is a huge deal, and I'm always in favor of that. So that, to me, is a nice win on paper right now for the Browns in the offseason that they've had. But am I going to be surprised if Shador somehow, some way, still racks up 5-6 starts this year? No, because I don't know if Deshaun has it week in and week out to go out there and lead a team to success consistently. I don't know if it's in the cards right now.
Well, what I want to see out of Deshaun Watson is a little bit of probably what Ryan Day wants to see out of Julian Sain. How athletic can you be? Like, where are your instincts as far as taking off? It's 3rd and 5. It's not there. Go. Like, can you get it? I honestly feel that way about Deshaun, and I don't know. I don't think they would know until he's facing live bullets against real NFL defenses. But his athleticism is what made him very dangerous when he was great. And I don't know where that is.
Yeah, right, especially when you're talking about an Achilles tear. But yeah, I think for him too, for both guys, whoever it is, it's got to be us talking about week in and week out the other playmakers too, because there wasn't enough of that last year where we were talking about the bad play at quarterback, but there's only so much those guys were going to be able to do with outside of Fannin. Who was the guy that you really knew week every single Sunday was going to be there for making noise? That's what's got to happen this year too. Clearly, that's box number one you got to check. The quarterback situation after that for me is the offensive line. But of the new faces that are new offensive pieces in Cleveland, which guys are going to be reliable? You get a guy or two to pop off outside of Quinshon and Fannin, and then you're starting to talk about an offense starting to crystallize itself and turn into something that defenses should take serious week in and week out going up against the Browns.
Got a center and a running back coming from back from significant leg injuries. Mm-hmm. Got a quarterback that's coming back from injury. It's everybody's healthy right now.
And I also don't want to just sit here and hand the job to Deshaun either. You know what I mean? It feels that way. It's just been no
talk. I don't think the fans want to either. I think the fans feel like with Shador, he may not be as good or have high of a ceiling. But I feel like the Browns fans were like, we got a quarterback that believes so much in himself, the swag. Like, I think some fans, they want to throw the wrist up. They want to be a part of something. They want to believe his belief.
No question. Right. And like we were talking about, it's not like going back to Deshaun is, oh, our guy, the savior is here, because we know what that looks like. No, there's none of that with Shador. There's always a little, the unknown, I think, sparks curiosity, which could also lead to, hey, wanting to see more of that guy. And I think that's where a portion of the Browns fan base is looking at Shador and saying, not only is it the age, it's all the other stuff you mentioned too.
All right. In 2 minutes, we'll come back with our friend Jeff Lloyd of the Orange and Brown Report, and we'll ask him about the competition and what he expects out of this year's team. That's next. Rothman and
shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Building and plumbing.
Rossman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Finding the sweet spot between the over and the under. You're listening to Rossman and Ice.
All right, our friend Jeff Lloyd, Orange and Brown Report. The man up in Seatown. Good to have you. How you been?
How's everybody doing today?
Good. I won't hit you with the obligatory quarterback question out of the gate. What I want to ask you about, because you've covered this team, and you can tell me whether this is a false narrative or not, is that, you know, Myles Garrett doesn't go to spring practices, right, ahead of the mandatory minicamp. But do you find it interesting that there's a report that he has not personally met with his new head coach, and we know how much that he kind of stumped a little bit for Jim Schwartz? Should I read anything into that?
I would say it's not an ideal great look overall. You know, this is the superstar player. Obviously, his connections to the city, not only with the organization he plays for, with the organization he, you know, co-owns, he's kind of a fixture and a pillar within the community in the area of Cleveland. At the end of the day, though, you know, once we start talking about things being mandatory, that certainly could change things. Also, you know, what Myles Garrett does for this team, and, you know, as far as just being one of the ultimate superstars in this league overall, we have these conversations, it seems, with Myles, you know, every offseason. And maybe it seems a little bit more and more as the offseasons go on, Myles is taking a little bit more time, technically, that he's allotted to, you know, for himself. You know, we know he's in a relationship, all of these things. But look, if Myles Garrett is here for week one and he's sacking quarterbacks and continues to be the Myles Garrett he always has, it's funny how quickly those conversations dissipate once we get to the fall.
There's no question. So you know how this works, right? Everybody's kind of reading into this and what's really going on here. Does Myles have an issue with somebody? Let's live in the world to where he doesn't show up for mandatory minicamp those first few days or whatever it may be. Is there anything that you can think of that Myles would be frustrated with right now? Like anything in your mind where you can point to something along the line over the last few months that would lead him to be frustrated with the team at the moment?
I mean, other than, you know, he was obviously, you know, standing for, you know, Jim Schwartz. And, you know, look, the organization decided to go another way. They wanted to get themselves basically away from whatever was the old regime and go essentially completely new. You know, so sure. But, I mean, at the end of the day, Myles Garrett is still one of the top paid players in the league. He is viewed as probably the top defensive player in the league. So I don't know if it's maybe so much that, you know, maybe Myles is upset with the situation as much as it just might be, you know, when you get a superstar of this ilk, you know, there are other players who do this in other cities with other teams. You know, for the Browns, it just seems like the most minute things get magnified sometimes when there's just not as much things to discuss overall.
We haven't had you on since the schedule was released, so now we can analyze that with you. How many games do you think they win this year?
I would say, you know, you would figure it's north of six, if not a little better, I would think. You know, the way the team is constructed, you know, I think the offensive line is going to be massively improved, whatever the combination of starting five eventually comes to surface in that regard. I think adding the two wide receivers should drastically overall improve the offense. You know, look, we still have no idea where this quarterback room is going to work out. You know, we think we know what the initial plan is, and we'll see, you know, if that falters and, you know, causes some changes. But even, you know, you would factor in better offensive line play leads to more consistent running game. More receiving options should equate to a more consistent passing game, which should make this team better overall. That's why when everybody says, you know, they're going to go chase down that quarterback in 2027 in the first round. Well, my question there is, you know, where are they going to be in that pecking order? Because I think this is a team that should be, you know, vastly improved overall and should be able to cut down on a lot of the mental mistakes that doomed them in while they had a weak offense last year.
Do you think their schedule is as big of an advantage as I do? And not just maybe the teams they play, but the way it lays out, all those 1 o'clock kicks, they'll have a great routine going. And it just feels like the back-to-back roadies to Florida against Jacksonville and Tampa. Like, I feel like, and they play some cool games, right? They'll play against Baker. They'll play against Stefanski. Like, there's some built-in motivation. I like the way their schedule lays out.
I agree. And the other thing is, you know, they're not traveling. I mean, they're going to be one of the teams that actually travels the fewest amount of miles this season, which is certainly, you know, beneficial, of course. You know what I'm saying? You know, some days when you get to, it's crazy to say, but teams that leave on Friday night for an away game, as opposed to leaving, you know, midday Saturday, it doesn't seem like it's that great of a difference, but it truly is. I mean, you know, you're only away sleeping in another bed for one day as opposed to a couple. Yeah, I think you look at that. Then you look at a team like the Raiders on the schedule, which should be Mendoza at that point or whatever. I think there is a lot of intrigue to it. you know, AFC South, NFC South. These are teams that, you know, they've had some pretty decent success with in the past. And, you know, for the most part, you look at teams in those divisions and you would say, you would think the Browns aren't too far, you know, off the pace with those teams as if maybe they were playing an NFC West schedule this year.
Between KC Concepcion and Denzel Boston, when you look at the offense that these guys are going to be a part of, when you look at the wide receiver room that they're in, of the two, which do you believe has the cleanest path to more targets, more reps, and possibly having a more impactful role on Sundays?
I don't know if it necessarily has anything to do with where they're drafted. I just think KC Concepcion, just because he can play kind of anywhere, and I know they're going to try to do this with everybody. They want guys to be versed inside. They want guys to be versed outside. But, you know, Concepcion, you know, times at NC State and certainly at Texas A&M has proven to be a high-volume guy. And, you know, I think that'll probably translate quickly. You know, he can work the deeper game. He can work the shorter game. So he's not really got basically, you know, an X on his chest when he comes onto the field. And I think that's something whoever the quarterback ultimately ends up being, it could be one of those situations, you know, where third and whatever, you know, Concepcion most likely end up being your target.
So let's go to the defensive side of the ball and get your thoughts on the new defense coordinator now, Mike Rutenberg, coming in following Jim Schwartz. Jim was awesome. The defense, as we know, was really, really good, led by Miles and all that crew. But looking at him now coming in to follow up with what Jim Schwartz had already built, how much change do you think he's going to try to make to this defense based off of what you know about him?
I don't know necessarily that there's going to be a ton of change, because it's probably one of those things when you walk into a room with a bunch of established veterans, you know, whether it's Miles, whether it's Denzel, of course, you know, whether it's Grant Delpit, you know, you don't necessarily want to take away what have made these players, you know, the players that they are, and, you know, how all these guys ended up getting contract extensions within the league. There's certain things you're going to look at, though. Obviously, you know, what's going to come of the linebacker room now, you know, after Carson Schwessinger? Devin Bush was a really quality player. You know, you obviously hope that Williams is going to be able to, you know, fill in some of that ilk. What I want to necessarily see is, what are you going to do? You know, we know who the first two corners are on this team. After that, I mean, you have no idea the way that room is going to shake out. So, you know, is it going to be one of these things where, you know, it doesn't matter who you are or what your name is, if you go out there and, you know, you show well in practice, are you going to get opportunities? Because, you know, that's what it's going to have to be. It's going to have to, it's not going to be so much maybe putting his brand name on this defense, but it's going to be developing guys and making this defense a little bit longer in the tooth after the stars that we all talk about, you know, and just making some of this depth or some of these starters who aren't the first guys that are mentioned take that next step. A guy like Mason Graham, who closed strong last year, can you get him to the next level where he warrants, you know, that the draft pick that the Browns put into him? I think he will, but those are the things. It won't be so much about what he does with the defense. It'll be about what he does with some of the individual pieces.
Let me give you a last one here, Jeff. Since they traded the three first-round picks for him and paid him all that money, is that the main reason he's getting another shot at earning this job and possibly, dare I say, another contract?
Yeah, the contract talk, let's just hold the horses there. You know, we obviously haven't seen this guy play in forever. You know, but look, if you're a first-time head coach like Todd Monken is, you have a quarterback who at one time was considered, you know, top five, top seven quarterback in the entire league, you know, and no disrespect to Shedeur Sanders, but, you know, that was a track record that Deshaun Watson had at one point in time. I do think I go back to, you know, there was an article done years ago about, you know, when Deshaun was really tearing it up in Houston, you know, where maybe Bill O'Brien was a little more involved, you know, two plays into the huddle, you know, looking over to the coach before you ran the play, maybe getting some assistance. You know, that's things that were done at Georgia during Monken's time there. I'm just wondering if he thinks it's something, you know, that could translate. Or, hey, you know what I'm saying? You know, he's maybe the best guy that, you know, the best we've ever seen about anybody that's in this room currently. So, you know, I'm not saying he's going to start week one, but maybe we're going to put him out there because he has the most individual talent. Is it still there? I think that's what Monken's going to try and find out for himself.
Well done, my man. Always enjoy having you on, brother. Be well. We'll talk soon.
All the best, gentlemen. Take care of yourself.
Thanks. Jeff Lloyd, host of Browns 3D, and, of course, the Orange and Brown Report on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. You think about what they might have had at this point when they were 3-14 a couple years ago and then fell one spot short of getting Cam Ward. What would that look like now? Think about the dominoes and all the the effects of what happens in sports, because then they overhauled the QB room. They traded for Kenny Pickett, right? That pick to get him, and then brought in Flacco and drafted Dylan and Shadur, and now we're back to Deshaun because he's healthy. And just think about if they would have just been a little worse, maybe they would have had Cam Ward, and not we wouldn't be talking
about
any of this.
And that's right. The fear. If you do win, let's say 6 to 8 games this year, it'll pull you out of those draft slots to get, you know, what we are assuming is going to be a really good quarterback class. And so I think if you get to the finish line and there's an answer, a clear answer in your mind that you have Deshaun Watson or can have him for years to come as your starting quarterback, I think you do it. But it has to be clear. If it's murky at all and you have questions, then I don't think you can recommit.
We talked about the most one of the most intriguing games will probably be Ole Miss hosting LSU. What about the most intrigue on Ohio State's schedule? That's next in the Bulletin. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Unlike your deadbeat uncle, we'll never leave you stranded in a ditch when you were 6. This promo may have been a touch too specific. The Fan.
James Laurinaitis.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
6.
Bo Bishop and Dom Tabari. Dom remembers when Bo was a young whippersnapper. And Bo remembers when Dom wasn't part ape.
And then Yolanda one time wanted to wax my knuckles.
Tuesdays with Tabari.
Sponsored by Green & Sons.
Tuesdays at 10:30 on The Fan.
All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Rothman and Ice present Buckeye Bulletin.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Save up to 50% on new windows from windownation.com.
All right, TLC, lay this out for us. I think I kind of just stumbled into this because I didn't even know you wanted us to talk about the intrigue of the schedule when I was thinking about Kiffin and Ole Miss.
I didn't think of it until you said that either.
And so now this actually kind of fits because, and you know what else, Maddie? When you said something earlier, it jogged my mind about the coaches and the faces of programs and whatever. The old school coaches who have had championships, who are legends of the game, they used to be able to recruit players just who wanted to play for them and say, I played for this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Same with college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I played for Coach K. Or, like, I think there was that existed.
I agree.
But now in college football's NIL and transfer portal era, I think it's shifted. I'm not saying they don't want to play for certain head coaches. I'm just saying it's not the tiebreaker anymore. These big-time coaches used to be able to recruit players on the program they had to offer, playing for them, putting guys in the NFL. Now, Ohio State still puts a conveyor belt to the NFL. Mm-hmm. So they know that going in. But it just started me thinking about how it's changed a little bit and that these guys could close and recruit as good as anybody because of what they'd established.
What do you think would matter to you right now? If you were a 5-star wide receiver from the streets of Chicago.
Opportunity.
Would it be playing time, money, guys that get drafted from the university, the head coach, the co-eds? Like, what for you in your mind?
Yeah.
What do you think would have mattered to 18-year-old Anthony?
That would have... Wow. I'd like to think it was the co-eds.
It's real. Would it be the money? Because you bring up a really good point.
The money would be there. If all things were equal, which they aren't, then you can move to that other stuff. But I think it would be very hard for a kid to say, I'm leaving this amount on the table. Yeah. I think that's hard for anybody in a job, in moving, all that. And because if you had something over here that may not be as good, it may not be everything you have, but the money is so much different than what I'm being offered. It's so hard to say, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to make the decision based on money. And because you're talking about life-changing money. This isn't the same as a kid picking a school based on, I like their uniforms, or I like the campus. Like, it's not that anymore. Even the old $500 handshakes. It's not that. This is life, generational changing money for some of these guys.
It is.
And so I think that would have to be up there. If you had multiple opportunities and some were a little less or a little more, then you're okay. Then you've got it covered. Then, okay, now wherever I go, I'm going to be financially compensated. It would have to be, well, the other part is, so opportunity, but on a bad team, isn't always great either. Like,
and also, how much are you really playing, let's say, as a true freshman at certain programs? So I think the identifying your pathway to playing time is a big deal. Like, what is this going to look like in year two?
Honestly, I think that's the blurriest part, identifying your playing time and your pathway to it, because you don't know what the transfers that are going to be brought in as you progress.
Yep.
But I also think, too, though, like, if I'm Chris Henry Jr., right? Like, I know that this is Jeremiah's last year. Yeah. So my pathway in year one is
opportunity.
Yep. And then my year two, I can see that I got a chance to be the guy, right? You bring up, that's also a good point, because that matters. Because a lot of these coaches now are saying, like, hey, let's go in the portal and get a guy that I know can help me right away. And so I'm with it there. I don't know if there's a 100% clear-cut answer that you can get, but I think maybe you can get a feel of what that could look like.
Geography plays a little bit of a part. What part of the country you're originally from. That may play part of that. Your comfort level on playing either West Coast or wherever. But it probably, for the greatest players, it doesn't. You're going with the prestige and the program and the winning. And it's just like, or maybe you dreamt of playing for a school one day and now it's here and you can. And so sometimes it depends on who was great when you were 12 years old.
Yeah. That's real. I wonder, too, how much of a factor it is when it comes to the position coach as well. Because you hear a lot of times,
always a big part.
You're going to spend a lot of time with that coach and all of that, and believing not only in the head coach and what he is, but also the guy that's going to be working with you every day to make you a better player.
How about this one?
Yeah.
The position you play. Because we've all these schools now, Maddie, are adopting we're RBU, we're DBU, we're LBU, we're WRU. Like, all of a sudden now, you've seen history. It'd be like, if I'm a running back, do I want to go to Notre Dame? If I'm a receiver, do I want to go to Ohio State?
Correct. Like, to your point, like, I think if there's a, let's say, an eighth grade wide receiver right now, not freshman in high school, that has promise, and he doesn't know really who's interested in him yet, but on his side of things, like, where would you want to go as a wide receiver? You're right, AR. Like, if I'm a,
I'm a wide receiver, LSU. Yes, like, true, but I got to know who the quarterback is, too.
But I'm just saying, to your point about trying to go to one of those wide receiver U's, that matters. That absolutely matters.
But your quarterback's just going to be some other high-priced high schooler who dominates all of the algebra students on the other side of the ball.
The funny part about this conversation may be, I'll circle back to my beginning point, that maybe a lot of kids back in the day did choose that place because of the head coach. And the head coach was a big factor. And how much does the head coach play now in the recruiting process? We have talked about money. We've talked about winning. We've talked about position coach. We've talked about position I play, geography, where I dreamt to go. And so whether it's the middle of the Midwest, whether it's South Bend, Indiana, or Columbus, Ohio, or Eugene, Oregon, or Miami, Florida,
I think right now, as we sit here today, I think if you're committing to, let's say, Indiana, I think that's your commitment to Cignetti for right now. I think that's what that is.
Sure.
They don't have
a massive history
and all of that. I think he's one of the few that I can think of off the top of my head
that
players are committing to him right now.
We don't just beat top 25 teams, we beat the shit out of them.
This guy, man.
You know what?
Oh, it's, man.
There should be a movie.
We'll call it Hoosiers.
I said you can't call it that. There has to be a movie. I don't know how, and there'll be a lot of poetic license. There'll be some embellishment on the rags to riches story. And I remember saying last year, right before they won it all, and if they lost, because they were talking about it being a movie even before they played Miami. And I said, Rocky didn't win the first fight, and it was still a great movie. But now that they did it, it's...
Do either crazy. One of you guys know how many draft picks they had this year? Indiana?
Mendoza, Surratt, Cooper.
Yeah.
Pons?
Pons.
Did Blackett drafted the running back? Or am I making...
Wait a minute. No. No, I know what you're talking about. You're thinking about Hemby.
Hemby. Not this.
Hemby. Aiden Fisher. Did he get drafted?
All right, I got the tally here.
Steven Daly. Coogan. Yeah,
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
6, 7, 8, 9. Wait, he got... Did Lewis Moore, did he get drafted?
I got Mendoza, Cooper, Pons, Black, Surratt, Nowakowski, Coogan, Fisher. That's 8.
Okay.
So eight guys off that team.
All right, we're coming back top of the hour, and we'll get into Ohio State's schedule. And also, is Aaron Rodgers playing a much bigger game? Tell you what I mean by that next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
We test marketed naming the show A Guy and His Butlers.
Oh, that is very touching.
But we thought Bishop and Friends had a better ring to it.
Weekday mornings at 9.
The Fan.
Grilling season.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Strong. Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Ryan Baker over at Huntington Park. Right now, the Columbus Clippers continuing their series with the Louisville Bats. They're in the seventh inning in the Clippers trail, 4-2. Up in Detroit, the Cleveland Guardians are going for the sweep of the Tigers. They are in the third inning in the Guardians lead 2-0. Daniel Schneeman and Jose Ramirez with RBI hits. Another elimination game for the Buckeye baseball team at the Big Ten tournament. They take on Michigan at 7. You can hear that over on the Fan 2 beginning at 6:55 with Tyler Danberg and Bob Spears. Game 2 of the NBA's Eastern Conference Finals tonight in New York as the Cavs face the Knicks at 8. Also at 8, Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals in the Stanley Cup playoffs down in Carolina as the Hurricanes host the Montreal Canadiens. This one brought to you by BMI Federal Credit Union. Voted best credit union for the past 8 years in a row by CBUS Top Picks. Visit BMIFCU.org to learn more.
Most shows just skim the surface, but Rothman and Ice feel like the biggest story of the day deserves a closer look. It's time for A Deeper Dive.
Sponsored by Orthopedic One, Central Ohio's most trusted orthopedic practice. Find a physician or location near you at OrthopedicOne.com.
All right, before we get to the very intriguing Aaron Rodgers press conference, do want to tackle this with Ohio State and the intriguing games, because there are several.
Because the schedule is what?
Yes.
What's the 2026
he's got
schedule,
it.
AR?
It's a gauntlet. Why should they even show up? I just remember somebody talking about Ohio State's schedule this year and going like, well, good luck with that. Like they're the 24th ranked team. Like I thought it was just, it was almost like, okay, we can all agree. Good schedule, tough schedule, mm-hmm. Much tougher than most. Good. Be battle-tested. Find out who you are. Maybe you lost your edge before you played in the Big Ten title game. All right, here we go.
It's no doubt the opposite of what they had last year, right? Like, you think about that schedule and what it was, obviously outside of Texas. I mean, there's going to be more entertaining, I think, hard-fought games throughout the regular season this year. Like, I would be shocked if they run through this thing and it's easy breezy. Like, that's just, I don't think, going to be the case this season. And Coach Dave's talked about it a couple of times. You and I have reacted to him throwing out the term fourth quarter games. He's telling mm-hmm. us already what he thinks of the schedule, how good his team is going to be. He's always going to have that confidence, but he's got a lot of respect for Oregon and Indiana and USC and Texas. You better going in to those games. So he's already anticipating, and I think getting his team ready mentally to go through what could be a grind of a regular season.
Last year on paper, before the Big Ten title game, I think they played 3 teams that were ranked at the time they played them. 3.
Yeah.
That's it.
Michigan, Illinois, Texas?
Michigan. That's right. Michigan, Illinois, Texas. And if we had Texas was one, yeah, and Illinois was top 20, and so was Michigan at the time.
When we get that first AP poll, they're going to have, what, five ranked opponents on the schedule? Texas, Indiana, USC, Oregon, and Michigan?
Or all right, I was going to go in the order of what I think they'll be ranked.
Okay.
Instead of their schedule. I would say Oregon. Well, Texas and Oregon, that'll be very interesting.
Right there.
Yeah, Texas, Oregon, Indiana.
Mm-hmm. Probably USC and then Michigan, in my mind.
I would say maybe Michigan. They get Penn State this year, right? Or no?
Uh-oh. No.
They don't. No. Okay.
Buckeyes, no.
That's right.
So you think Michigan will be ranked higher than USC?
I do. Okay. Preseason.
I'll go USC.
What about Iowa? They play Iowa this year?
They do. At
Kinnick. The schedule right in front of me. Yeah. So that's five.
I don't think
USC would be six.
Iowa, they're going to be ranked to start the year? That's the one
that
I...
Top 25? I mean...
I think it's Texas, Indiana,
got a lot of new
USC,
starters, so maybe they'll wait on them.
Oregon and Michigan. Those are my five. So I think on paper, they're going to have at least five ranked opponents to start the year. Who knows by the time we get to Michigan and Oregon and USC, what that's going to look like. I think out of the gate, they'll get a handful of ranked opponents.
The Aaron Rodgers press conference was very interesting. We were talking about, I teasing, you know, that he's playing a bigger game. And I feel like, because I went through this in my mind about the difference between Joe Burrow's press conference and Aaron Rodgers are like the opposite ends of the spectrum. They really are. One guy slips in, let's just go win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And the other guy you'll hear is a little more of the let's wait and see. And it's making me feel like, could he be playing my game? Under promise, over deliver. Or is he playing the, I'm just here because I love football and I love being a part of it. And now I can make peace. And I needed one more year before I hung up my helmet. And it almost feels that way for me, because I want you to, so TLC, set up these sound bites for us.
Yeah. Is there a particular order you want to go in, or we can just kick it off from the top? This was the very first question that he was asked.
Glad to be back. And was there much doubt, if any, you would come back?
Yeah, there was some doubt for sure, but I had good conversation with Mike going back to when he was hired, and yeah, it's nice to come back. I mean, it felt different than last year because I knew some of the guys and some of the people that work here and stuff, so it felt good coming in.
So he does admit that he did have some doubt, so for all of the speculation, Aaron Rodgers dragging this out because he likes drama, blah, blah, blah. He said that he did have some serious doubt there, and the second question was on how he made the decision.
Aaron, what was that decision-making process like for you? How did you eventually come to the decision to return?
Yeah, there were a lot of conversations with Mike and Omar and for a while. And, you know, I just had a lot of conversations with my wife about it. And after the draft, came to the conclusion that I wanted to play and wanted to come back.
After the draft, does that give you any clues on anything?
Yeah.
Left tackle round one.
Yeah, absolutely.
It does. Drafted Jeremy Bernard in the second or third? Yeah.
I think third, but the problem is I can't remember who we took in the second. Wait a minute, didn't we have another second round receiver?
You guys.
Did we do that again?
I don't think you did.
Gosh, dude, my brain only works in seasons, and I'm in like NBA playoff season right now.
You guys Bernard was the second round pick.
Okay, well, there you go.
And then you guys went Aller with the first third pick, and then another receiver didn't come off the board until the fourth round pick for you guys.
You know what he's waiting on?
Offense.
You guys, he was waiting to see if they were going to draft Ty Simpson. That's what he's waiting on. You don't want to get stuck in a Kirk Cousins situation. That's my mind that tells me that.
Don't you think he had a feel that they weren't going to do that,
probably,
though, with all the showering of love that they were doing publicly?
Yeah. But let's make sure, because you never know the way the board's going to fall. And who knows? What if Ty Simpson fell all the way to pick 47? Did they pass him there?
I have to imagine that Ty Simpson wasn't really a factor in my mind. I don't think Aaron Rodgers would be spooked off by Ty Simpson.
Maybe not.
I don't think so.
That's what I'm saying. But he's the one that said, wait till after the draft.
Yeah.
So that way he has more information.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, because they could promise him a lot of stuff or say, this is what we're intending. Yeah. But the draft works in mysterious ways. And maybe they didn't suspect this guy to drop. And now what do we do? We're just not going to draft him because our 42-year-old quarterback, we promised?
Hey, he's still developing.
Yeah.
So, but it is almost a month after the draft, though.
Yeah.
So
maybe it was the schedule talk.
Yeah. Maybe he really wants to go to Paris. Maybe that's on the agenda, but...
Then he slipped one in and at the end. And this was the one, and everybody kind of knew the answer, but it was interesting for him to finally put it in cement.
And this is, by the way, 12 minutes into the press conference.
Yeah, I love Mike T. I mean, I really appreciate the opportunity to come in last year and love my experience with him. And, you know, I thought when he said he was stepping away, that was an emotional moment just because we all love him so much and care about him. And, you know, I thought that... that was probably it for me in Pittsburgh. But when the decision was made to hire Mike, I sort of opened my mind back up to coming back.
Two more. Aaron, do you believe that this could be your last year? Do you end up thinking of that right now?
Yes.
As in your last year?
This is it, yeah.
So was Big Mike or bust is what I heard. Anybody outside of Mike McCarthy? I think he retires.
That was the unpredictable reason about why he came back.
Because
there was so much narrative on them not always seeing eye to eye.
Correct. And if you're Aaron Rodgers at, what is he, 43, 42, whatever it is right now, I don't think you want to take one more lap around the track with some rookie head coach, whether it was the guy that we were talking about a lot with the Rams, was it Shield House or something like that. Like, you don't want to do that. You want to come back in with teammates that you already know and a head coach and offensive mind that you know and what his offense is. That, there would have been too much uncertainty, I think, with some of these other guys. Like, even if they would have brought in, let's say, like Jesse Minter. Like, I don't think he would have ran it back. I think it had to be with a guy. They've been at the top of the mountain together, and you can ease yourself back into another year and with comfort and knowing that Big Mike's here.
This sounds very ceremonial to me. Did we play that when he said,
this is it?
This is it.
Yeah.
So the natural follow-up to that is, well, then how do you envision your final year? What are you envisioning? How do you want it to end? What's realistic? Like, because he led you right there. This is it. So what did you come back for? Because most guys would say, I'm not coming back unless I can win a Super Bowl. But he wasn't willing to go there. He wasn't willing to tell people, I think this team can do it. Now, that's being probably smart and that he's not setting horrible expectations for this team, because why would he want to pull a Burrow right there? Like, he's not Joe Burrow. And I found the two press conferences incredibly opposite. One guy slips in, hey, we're just going to go to the Super Bowl and win it, and then we'll deal with everything after that. And the other guy's like, hey, wait a minute now. These guys aren't even in pads yet. And so I find his comeback very interesting, because I don't know why. I know why he would want to keep playing. Most athletes do.
Of course.
Not the money. It's really not. It's to feel that adrenaline of being an NFL starting quarterback.
Like, it's all you know. Like, I've heard guys talk about that, how scared they can become knowing that at this point in their careers, the way Rodgers is, on the other side of this thing is a world that I have no idea what's coming my way. So let me do this for as long as I possibly can. And he's a part of something in his mind. I'm sure he believes they can be very, very competitive.
So if this fails, like it did with the Jets, is he playing a bigger game with something? We'll tell you that next. Rothman Nights and the Fan.
Whatever you're doing right now, just know that Bo Bishop is enjoying a sip of bourbon. Even if this promo is playing in the morning, no judgment.
Ah, sweet morning drinking.
The Fan.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Morning Juice is now on YouTube, weekday morning starting at 6. If you're a fan of Bobby Carpenter, he's ready to attack and dominate. If you're a fan of Jeff Dunoff, drive directly to a hospital. Seriously, The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Expect cloudy skies to turn into sunshine throughout the day today. Temperatures will warm into the upper 60s to low 70s. For tonight, partly cloudy overnight with our lows down into the 50s. And for Friday, showers will be likely with even a few thunderstorms possible as we go throughout the day. Otherwise, mostly cloudy and breezy with highs in the low 70s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
All the Ohio State conversation you can handle. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
Your Ohio State flagship station. The Fan. Rockman and Ice present Pre-Snap Reads.
Sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, call Dr. Mark Levy today at 1-800-MORE-SLEEP.
So the big game that I'm talking about with Aaron Rodgers, is he harming his legacy? And I started to think about, from a football standpoint, I don't really think he is. Now, the longer you stick around, the more you are putting that on display. And I'm not talking about Willie Mays stumbling around in the outfield or, you know, guys that stay too long. But guys of that legendary status really can't do a ton to really kill themselves, because eventually they are getting to the Hall of Fame. But the longer you stick around, what you're playing with is how people will remember you. Because the more you distance yourself from your prime and your greatness, the more people, it's just a longer time ago when you were at the height of the game than people leaving at the height of the game. Or like when Barry Sanders or somebody, like, all you remember is how great that person was. You never remember seeing any of the bad stuff. And when Aaron Rodgers, you know, was with the Jets, and it felt like, I don't know, it just felt like, wait a minute, this isn't the guy who's the four-time MVP and the Super Bowl champ and all that, mm-hmm. because he isn't that guy. He's older and it's a different team and all that. Because in his career, he's got four MVPs and a Super Bowl with the Packers. And his time with the Jets probably was the first time he's failed to help a team get to the playoffs, you know.
And it was just a brutal start. Not that many times. Right out of the gate. I mean, that.
Dating back to high school, yeah. I mean, he probably never experienced anything like this.
No, probably not, for sure. Like TLC just mentioned, I mean, you have the game, he's running out of the tunnel with the American flag, and it was just so much anticipation and just energy in the building and just around the football world, and then boom, pops his Achilles. And since then, it's been a slippery slope, and that's no surprise. The guy is late 30s, early 40s dealing with a lot of this stuff. But to me, I think it's all gravy when it comes to his legacy, because
I agree.
Last year for him wasn't a mess in Pittsburgh. He was a part of a team.
Statistically, he's
solid. Pretty good. He was fine. Yeah. And he was a part of a team that won the division and all those things. And so if he goes out there and has an absolute dud of a season, to me, it's not going to factor much into how I think about him. I don't think about Jerry Rice with the Seahawks. Mm-hmm. I don't think about Emmitt Smith with the Cardinals. Like that stuff just doesn't factor into my mind when those guys come up. And so I actually think the back end of his career, the Jet stuff stinks. But what he's done in Pittsburgh, I respect. And I think it'll be respectable again this season. Yeah. The guy's fifth all-time in passing yards. He's a one-of-one guy that's played the position in his era, and I think that's how I'll remember.
Yeah, he's one of the best of his generation. I don't care what happened with the Jets.
Yeah,
it's
what he is.
It was a bad organization, was a failure anyway at the time, and I think his place in history is very secure. As I mentioned, the MVPs, multiple, the Super Bowl ring, and I'll tell you what, you can look up the top 10 rankings in every major passing category, and I'm sure he's into all of them. Most of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's probably destined to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, unless something goes tragic this year and then people just make him wait. But I don't think they can
point to the deflate gate, like any of that stuff with him. It's the resume is what it is. You can't do anything but respect it. So that to me is first ballot all day and tomorrow.
I mean, his number, if you compare his numbers when he was with the Jets to Brett Favre, they're very similar. even though Favre won more.
Yeah.
Like, you could make the case, or I can, that Rodgers was on a much lesser team than Favre was and actually played as good or better.
And then he was also dealing with what felt like, to me, he and the head coach not being on the same page and maybe not even really liking each other that much with the way it felt, like with the whole Robert Saleh situation at the end. So, yeah, he was up against it. Now he's in a situation in Pittsburgh to where we were reacting to what he was saying about Mike McCarthy. I think there's a level of comfort but also respect that's there. He respected the heck out of Mike Tomlin. He did. I don't know if he has that same level of respect for Mike McCarthy, but I think it's at a good enough point to where that won't become a distraction or an issue.
I feel like I can give you some
Let's hear
clues
that.
On that.
Let's hear that.
So this is initially on Aaron Rodgers talking about McCarthy.
I had a conversation with Omar at the end of last year, and I encouraged him for an outside perspective to interview Mike. Not thinking that he even would, honestly, just because the way the league goes and the trend, you know, it's kind of like whoever worked with Sean, you know, Kyle or one of those guys, Matt now, you know, gets a, you know, a lot of looks, and multiple guys in those trees have. But then when it became more serious, I was thinking, wow, that'd be a really interesting thought to come back and play with Mike.
Would you have come back for any of those other guys you mentioned, or did it have to be Coach McCarthy to come back for?
Well, that's a what-if conversation. I don't really want to go way down that line, but, you know, there's definitely a full circle aspect to it that, that piqued my interest from the start.
The difference between him coming back to Pittsburgh and going to the Jets, in my mind, is that when he went to the Jets, he was looked at as being Aaron Rodgers of old. MVP, Super Bowl champ. You are God. You come in here, you ask for it, we'll give it to you. You want Nathaniel Hackett? You got it. You want Alan Lazard? You got it. You want Randall Cobb? You got it. You want to install the offense? You can do it. And they gave him everything. And because they were desperate. They hadn't made the playoffs in 14 years. The Steelers are different. I don't think coming back to Pittsburgh for this final year is all about, hey, what can we do to make Aaron happy? That's why I find this decision by the Steelers very odd. It sounds very ceremonial what he said. This is my last year. Yep, this is it. I played 20 blanking years in this league, and I'll be at peace with it. Like, what's he coming back for?
The vibes, they are. The love of the game. But I think even more than that, I think he truly believes that this team can make a lot of noise. I honestly believe that. Because how can you blame him for thinking that way?
Does he have that? You have that soundbite?
No, because it was just kind of like naming players and stuff like
the
that.
The stuff were about the guys in shorts, and I don't want to go there.
Okay, that one. So this was that. I'll piggyback that from the original declaration. Because so 12 minutes, and first let me ask you this. The fact that it took 12 minutes for somebody to ask him, is this your final season, is that a poor job by the Pittsburgh media?
I think they assumed it. Yes. Honestly, I don't think I don't think there was a real question. Honestly, that's probably where they went. It's like, okay, well, we all know the answer to this.
Especially,
I'm glad somebody eventually asked it.
I think you're on it. I think you nailed it. And then also, too, when the news comes out about the contract, it's another one-year deal. I think that leans in towards the assumption that you're talking about.
And so you said that the follow-up should be about, well, what are you trying to accomplish in your final year?
Yeah, if you're telling us right today, you know this for a fact. You're now cementing it. He's not playing that game with, we'll see. Let's see how the season goes.
Yeah.
Nobody knows what they're going to feel like in a year, how my body is. He could have played that whole thing again and dragged this out again. Instead, he said right now in late May, this is it.
Define
Make
for
no
us.
Make no mistake where you are. Like, this is it.
Yeah. Define for us, Aaron.
How do you envision your last year?
Well, this was the follow-up. Yeah.
And how close is
last
this
one?
How close is this team, do you think, with you coming back and Coach McCarthy's offensive place, to taking a couple steps forward? Then
I mean, it's day three. Like, can we talk about that in Latrobe after a nice little Meadows freeze?
Well, are you optimistic with how the pieces that have been added fit what you know to be the offense?
Yeah, but I think you have to temper expectations, you know, this time of year, because all the years I've played, sometimes you get excited about guys how they look in shorts and a helmet, and then when the pads go on, it just changes everything. It changes the offensive line first and foremost, but it changes how guys play. Some guys slow down, some guys speed up. So you just got to temper your expectations, not make any snap judgments, and wait till camp to see how things come together. But I am excited about these guys. I'm excited about the team, and it's fun to be back in the locker room with those guys.
Little mellow mushroom. He just didn't.
Great pizza.
It was close, by the way. It was close. Like, that follow-up was very similar to the one that I would have asked, which is, how do you envision your last season? But if you really wanted to throw him a fastball, you would have said, the prognosticators say this is a 7.5-win football team. Do you feel disrespected by that? Or is that appropriate?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have to earn this? Like, then you would have maybe gotten him to at least lean into what he thinks they could be. But he was smart to play it the way he did.
For sure. And yeah. I think your question, I'd love to hear him answer. Knowing him, he'd probably dance around that just a little bit. But I just think when you look at what they've done this offseason, especially on offense, bringing in Pittman, I think, and then you get a first-round offensive lineman, you get another wide receiver, and he knows what they're going to probably do on defense. He's got a pretty high level of confidence, I think, in his mind. He's not going to tell us, but I don't think he would have came back to this roster if he didn't believe that they can go further than what they did last year.
You know, I think he would have answered it. He would have just slyly said, I've been overlooked before. That's what he would have said. We'll come back in 2 minutes. Bruce Feldman from The Athletic and Team 24. Is he on it or not? Rothman and I.
Give me a mountain with lots to do. Give me the sunshine. Give me a dew. Give me something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and a cool, refreshing mountain dew. So give me my good friends. Give me a
grab some friends and an ice-cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew!
May vary.
Rossman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
A perfect afternoon parlay. This is Rossman and Ice.
All right, he's a best-selling author. Reports for The Athletic and Fox. He's our friend Bruce Feldman taking his time to join us now on the Brian Heat and Cooling Systems Fangest Hotline. Bruce, welcome back, my man.
Good to be on with you guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. All right, let's hit you right on where the narrative is. The Big Ten and their commissioner pushing pretty hard for a 24-team college football playoff. Is the answer so easy as, hey, if there's more spots, there's more teams, and that means more money for them? Is that it?
I think that's probably the biggest driver of this, is the feeling that there will be more money for the playoff, because you'll have more teams who are still engaged in November. Lose two games in the first, 2 months. People, it'd still be a good season for a lot of teams to go, 9-3 or, even 10-2. But I think the idea that if you're a 9-3 team and you have a really good chance of making the playoff, even if you're an 8-4 team, depending on how it breaks, I think that's the selling point to them, is a lot of teams who would have little to no shot to make the 12-team playoff now are like, we could be 21 through 24, and that means our fan base is engaged, and that means the viewers are there. Now, again, no one's seen the numbers yet. I think these are expectations and maybe projections, but there's a lot of stuff that needs to be sorted out.
All right, so why are they pushing so hard for a 24, and then you go to the SEC, and they're like, no, I think 16's good, or 12, like 16 at the most. Like, why wouldn't they want more?
I think the SEC feels like, if our teams have really good years, then they're going to get in. And if they don't, they won't. And, I don't want to simplify it as much to just this point, and I'll say this by pointing out that I do work for Fox Sports, but ESPN basically has the whole playoff, and what they don't have, they've sub-licensed to TNT, and Fox doesn't have any of it. And Fox is tied very closely to the Big Ten, and the SEC is the cash cow for ESPN. Much more so, yes, ESPN has the ACC network and the ACC, but the real brand, the most favorite nation for ESPN is SEC. And so I don't know if it's an oversimplification to say that's how it really sets up, but that's sure how it feels if you talk to people inside the sport.
So let's talk about another big-time story that's happening within the sport right now, and that's the Brendan Sorsby situation. And so they bring him in to Texas Tech. They pay him reportedly a whole bunch of money, Bruce, and now here we are having to deal with, or more importantly, I guess he has to deal with this whole betting deal. And so this is going to court now. And so can you kind of just update this situation on Brendan Sorsby and where you believe this thing is going to go?
Right. So he has a very high-powered attorney, Jeffrey Kessler, who's been in a lot of high-profile cases in not just college football, but in sports in general over the last 25-plus years. The cases they put it together, though, I don't see how. I think the hope is that they're going to have a very favorable judge in Lubbock, Texas, where Texas Tech is located, who's going to just kind of throw his hands up and wave him through. I don't see how the NCAA, though, and honestly, the more I thought about it, it's not just the NCAA, even the Big 12, right? Because obviously Texas Tech is a Big 12 school, but you're sitting there going, this is the thing, probably more so than any, that coaches, especially in football, but really all sports, are like, this is the biggest no-no. We have meetings about this. You can't bet on games, and you definitely can't bet on games you're involved with, which he did. Like, you know, in teams that he was in the program. He may not have played in some of the games, but he was in the program. He bet on a lot. You know, I think he's very fortunate that he was able to play as long as he did before he got caught with this, because there's a lot of digital footprints on the gambling side of this, of what he did. You know, if I think his side of it wants to basically serve a 2-game suspension and then let him get cleared. I mean, Texas Tech plays 2 really weak opponents in the first 2 games. The idea that that would be it, and then he can turn around and play, what kind of message does that send to the rest of college athletics? I mean, it's preposterous. I get that he is saying that, you know, he has a gambling problem and everything like that. That is, you know, we can be sympathetic to that, but also don't mean that the rules that he was operating in don't count for him. You know, like, there's a lot of people who have addictions. It doesn't mean you just completely throw the rules away when their addictions cause them to just basically run through the stoplight. You know, it just, I don't know. To me, it's a baffling case that they think they would win this other than just home cooking in the, you know, with a local judge.
Yeah, Bruce, and it is hypocritical to some degree if a guy admits he's addicted to gambling and then the lawsuit basically says, well, I never bet on a game that I played in or that I believed I had a reasonable chance of playing in. And then once I was Indiana's backup quarterback, that I never bet on a game involving Indiana or Cincinnati football while he was a member of the programs, which tells you, wait a minute, so you were addicted or you weren't? Like, it sounds like you had it under control,
yeah,
when you knew you weren't involved.
I see your point. I didn't even think about that piece of it, but you're right, because then it does show some aspect of self-discipline in regard to that. You know, like, that's just another layer of it. You know, my point is, whether he plays in the games or not, he has so much insider information about how the team is going to do. You know, who might be hurt, who might be coming back, you know, different things that they know. You know, it's just like one of these where I don't see how you do it, because you open up such a Pandora's box. I mean, this guy may place thousands of bets, and he did bet on the team he played for and a lot. You know, it's just, I just don't see how the NCAA, like, how they would not fight this tooth and nail to do this. And again, I would think that the Big 12 would have a big problem internally if they, you know, go to bat for Texas Tech at the expense of not just the rest of their football conference, but really the rest of their, all their athletic teams. That's what this is opening up.
Bruce Feldman with us from The Athletic, covering college football. Is the Big Ten do it again this year? Is the SEC going to kind of end the run? What is your feeling?
You know, I mean, they've gone 3-for-3 with 3 different teams. Oregon's pretty loaded. If I was going to say who would be the 4th team that could do it, you know, that would be the one I would pick. You know, obviously Ohio State still has a, you know, they lost a lot of high-level talent. They're still really talented. I feel like that there's, you know, Texas could be really good. They were probably a year away last year. I don't know if I'm convinced that they're going to, you know, anything I've seen from last year is like, oh, yeah, they're going to be a national title team. But I wouldn't bet against the Big 12, Big 10 at this point, just because of all the guys Oregon has back. And what we've seen is this landscape has changed dramatically in college athletics from the days of it being Georgia or Alabama and the occasional LSU, you know, coming in. It's just so much different now because of the portal and because of NIL. It's just reshifted everything. You know, Saban's not coaching. He left, obviously, because of this change in climate. And, you know, I feel like you could pick probably any one of three teams. You know, maybe Cignetti's team, even though they lost Mendoza and some really good players. They have a lot of really good guys back on defense. You know, maybe he can repeat. I've learned after last year not to doubt him or not to underestimate him.
What type of impact do you believe Ed Orgeron's going to make at LSU now?
I think it's a big hire for Lane Kiffin. A couple of reasons. One, he's immediately becomes the best recruiter on that staff. That's what he is best at. And he's a really, really good D-line coach. I mean, nobody's produced any more high-level defensive linemen as him. I think what he really does is twofold. One, he's the guy who is the intensity guy to balance out kind of Lane Kiffin and some of the other stuff that's there. Like, I don't know if they, I'm not saying they didn't have anybody who brought that to that program, but he really brings that. He knows Lane Kiffin better than anybody. That's a big piece. And then the second part, I think, is the recruiting element. I mean, he's as good a recruiter as we've ever seen in college football. And he's also a guy who's obsessed with evaluation and the details. I mean, I don't think that LSU, you know, they obviously spent a fortune to load up this roster, but I think Kiffin had a feeling of, okay, you know, we might be a year away. It's a new, you know, to set the culture and all those things. Some of the guys on his staff came with him from Ole Miss. A lot of them didn't. And I think now after off season, I think he realized, okay, there's some things we need to shore up and get more butted up. And I think that's why he aggressively wanted to bring Orgeron back to Baton Rouge.
Born in the bayou, man. He defines it, that's for sure. Bruce, this was awesome. Thanks for taking the time, my man. Hope we get to talk soon. Be well.
Always a pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks. Bruce Feldman, reporter for The Athletic and Fox Sports and the best-selling author. He was on the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We come back with Tell the Truth next, Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
A lot of hosts have been on our airways in the past 30 years. Some good, some bad, some really bad. Anyway, sorry for that. The Fan.
Hey, it's Bobby.
Give me a mountain with lots to do. Give me the sunshine. Give me a dew. Give me something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and a cool, refreshing Mountain Dew. So give me my good friends, give me a dew.
Grab some friends and an ice-cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew.
Hey, benefits.
The Fan has a secret radio station. It's called The Fan 2. You can listen to the Bob and Tom Show, Jim Rome, and Buckeye stuff. Why do they pay me big money to whisper? The Fan 2 is on The Fan's HD2 channel and streaming on The Fan app. You're welcome.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Patriot Air Comfort Systems and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep your home comfortable. The Fan.
Tell the Truth with Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by McDaniel GM Superstore. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
All right, TLC, take us home.
All righty, so I did not even know this when I was planning this question. I don't know why it popped in my head, but I was just driving into work today and I thought of this. Turns out, it's National Waitstaff Day. But my question was going to be, anyway, how long do you think you would need to work in the service industry for you to get to the point where you could take a table's order without writing anything down? Because you know those people impress you when you're at a table and yeah. You're like, hey, do you want to write this down? They're like, I don't need it.
It matter. I don't want to say it's the end all be all, but it's a nice little thing for me when a waiter or waitress does that, AR.
I don't like it, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I don't. In fact, if I could do it, I wouldn't do it.
Why? Well, tell me why you don't like it first. Why don't you like it?
If you could, how could you not?
Because it makes the people ordering a little uneasy, like if they have a special order that it's not going to happen. Like, something's going to get wrong. Like, you're not writing this down.
No, I know this menu like the back of my hand.
Yeah, but if everyone has, like, a little bit of a special, I want this without that and add this.
I gotcha.
And I think you're like, I would rather just fake write it down, like, so at least they think I'm, you know, like, that's all I'm saying.
Well, if your pen's that close to your notepad, you might as well just click the pen open.
Because you just said it. You said, well, you sure you don't want to write this down? No, I got it. And then you're all at the table for the next 50 minutes. Good. All right, let's see.
It only becomes embarrassing if you get something wrong. You get something wrong, then it's embarrassing. You get it right. I think it's a nice win for you as a waiter or waitress. And so, yeah, I don't mind it at all. And if that were my job, that would be my goal, is to do that, is to know every drink, know what's in every cocktail, and then what goes in every lunch, dinner, dessert item as well. Like, I think that's cool that they care enough about their job the menu.
Oh, no, I'm okay with them knowing the menu. I thought the question was, when the whole table is ordering,
Like a table of four.
That they're going to remember every little detail of your order.
But he asked us how long it would take you and I, if we were waiters, to get to that point.
Rothman's saying never, because he would never do it even if he could.
Coming to the table with his notepad.
No,
at least you'd be right.
Yeah, because you're going to want something on the side, or not with this sauce, or I want to add change.
I don't know if that
this side
that hard. Once you get in the groove of doing that,
if it's a table of two, fine. Maybe that's the thing I'm getting to. Five or more, we're writing it down.
Okay.
If you know the menu,
somebody's out there on a dream date with Matty Ice, and it's just two people. The lady will have the linguine with white clam sauce and a Coke with no ice.
Scarface.
I come here for the strudel. It's great. Like, fine.
He's dropped that a few times, TLC. We should know that one.
Ooh.
That one's
a class move. Find out what she wants and then order for the both of you.
Godfather.
The lady will have the linguine and white clam sauce and a Coke with no ice.
The Sopranos.
Nope.
Goodfellas.
Nope.
He hasn't seen The Irishman, so we know it's not that.
No, I have seen it.
You just didn't enjoy it.
It's too long. It was awful.
3 hours? Operation Hail Mary.
Kind of upset here. This kind of gets me here. I mean, you've already failed the exercise, but when in doubt.
Really?
Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all me,
just
TLC.
Saying when in doubt.
That's an L for me, not for you. Because that's what I'm supposed to know that.
No, right. But that's one of those two where it's like when it's not that, he's like, all right. He's like rolling his eyes.
No,
he's
like, I'm not.
You guess that all the time. And then when it is that, it's like, how could you not guess Fast Times at Ridgemont High?
When you're out of answers.
Go to that.
You may as well. Okay. Like, it's like on multiple choice in high school. Always go C.
I was a B guy.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
Did it work out?
Yeah. No, it didn't.
Oh.
It did.
They probably, after years, they probably realized that everyone is.
Yeah, for sure. Going to see.
We got to change it up a little bit.
Right. I say over a year for me.
You know, we're going to go win a lot of games this year and play great and win a Super Bowl.
Whatever.
Just go get one. They're easy.
Do your friends think you're funny?
Ooh.
Wow, that was not a good reaction.
No, it was an ooh because I would love to know their answer to this, because I think they think I'm kind of funny. But a lot of the jokes and things I say to them, I can't say on the air. They're a little bit more, you know.
Personal.
You're correct.
Yeah.
When somebody says that to me, I come back and say,
what do you mean funny? Funny how? How am I funny?
Yeah, what am I, a clown? I'm here to amuse you?
That Casino?
No.
I just, anytime I hear Joe Pesci now, I'm going to think,
not.
See, but good guess. Home Alone?
No. Colder.
play it again.
The Godfather.
What do you mean funny? Funny how? How am I funny?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
No, you said it. No, hey, Anthony, he's a big boy. He knows what he said.
What? Godfather?
Nope. You've not seen it, I don't believe.
I haven't seen. Okay, then I got nothing.
It's Goodfellas. I think some people... Yeah, funny is a broad term, right? Like, how much you amuse somebody. But I think... being witty, on the other hand, is maybe even a higher level of that. And so...
Oh, so you'd much rather be witty than funny.
Yeah.
Okay. I think you're
good
both.
Question.
I think
hand you're in hand. Good question. I mean, from Maddie there. That was a quality question.
Well, thanks for specifying that.
Your question was great. He took it to another level.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
There it is.
There's the wit.
There it is.
Yeah. Can you say the sentence, "Yes, I read that book," if you listen to it on audio tape? If you listen to an audio book, does that count as reading a book?
This has got a little bit of the Neil Shipley hole-in-one TGL vibes to it. Does it really count?
It doesn't.
So an audio
book. If you made a hole-in-one on a video game, the ball goes into a screen.
Video games.
And then the ball
gets transported virtually into
a golf hole.
We got to put a little bit more respect on it.
You don't see the ball. The real ball that you hit did not go in a hole.
That is
fair. Doesn't count.
Hey, yo, we can't do video games, though, because he hit the ball. It's not like I'm playing Tiger Woods on PS2 and getting my hole-in-one there.
But it went into a screen.
But he got
a real ball did not go into a real hole.
So an audio book.
Whoa, that was a little bit of this.
Merrill, three-pointer, in and out.
I think yes, TLC, it counts.
Yeah, you
read, I think it counts.
Somebody read the book to you. Yes. I don't know if you actually read it.
I think it counts.
Like I would say, if somebody said, "Did you read that book?" I'd say, "Yeah, somebody read it to me." It's a good story.
You know what it is for me though? I can't do audiobooks because I become distracted
by the voice.
Well, it's just like I need to be locked in.
My ADHD risk management.
My mind doesn't work that way. Like, I got to be turning the pages and physically holding a book to be locked in. I just know myself. Mm-hmm. If I listen to something, and you're not looking elsewhere.
And you're not a road trip guy.
No.
And that's when you could knock out a couple of these books.
I'd go to sleep to a book in the car for that long.
All right. And that is Tell the Truth for today, May 21st.
All right, I'll try not to get choked up here, and I didn't do this yesterday because, you know, out of respect to the family, and it wasn't officially out yet, but yesterday we learned of the passing of Bill Davidge, Blue Jackets broadcaster and analyst and personal friend of so many people, and I just always remember a smiling, proud man's man, and he just embodied so much that I respected, and he had so many good traits and great qualities that I deeply respected and admired, and he served as an inspiration to me over the many years that he struggled with multiple myeloma. And, you know, we lost him yesterday, and he was genuine and kind, and everyone loved him. And I look back on my personal relationships with him, and whether it was golf or just chatting, and, you know, he dropped that Canadian accent all the time on me, and we'd be playing golf together, and, you know, the balls would end up in the same area, and he'd go, "Hey, are you them there too, side by each?" And I'd be like, "That is the weirdest, funniest thing I've ever heard." To his family, to his son Rob, to everybody that loved him and knew him and got to know him either through the television or through Blue Jackets hockey, you'll never forget him. And he'll always inspire me and so many people. He was quality over quantity in so many areas. Billy D, never to be forgotten and always remembered. And just a proud Ohioan, started Ohio State, helped Miami University and their hockey team. And just think of Bill when you see a puck drop somewhere, and hopefully he'll be watching. Rothman and Ice on the Fan.
We test marketed naming the show "A Guy and His Butlers."
Oh, that is very touching.
But we thought Bishop and Friends had a better ring to it.
Weekday mornings at 9.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.